This is the Preparedness Radio Network, preparing you for natural and man-made disasters, helpful tips on gardening and homesteading. Be prepared and remember, preparedness saves lives. This is the Preparedness Radio Network.
If everything you eat comes out of boxes stored in your freezer, you might need the Self-Reliance Expo. If you're afraid to take out your own garbage because the neighbor kids might beat you up, you might need the Self-Reliance Expo.
Over 50 free training classes are coming to the Self-Reliance Expo at the Arlington Convention Center Friday, July 27th and Saturday, July 28th. Gardening, alternative home building, off-grid living, food preservation, cooking with the sun, self-defense classes, canine demos, and more.
If you can kill a houseplant just by looking at it, you might need the Self-Reliance Expo.
This event is fun for the whole family and is the largest of its kind in the nation. Learn how to do it yourself. Learn how to defend yourself. Save money. Save a life.
If the only screwdriver you own is made of orange juice and vodka, you might need the Self-Reliance Expo.
It's the Self-Reliance Expo at the Arlington Convention Center, Friday, July 27th and Saturday, July 28th. Go to SelfRelianceExpo.com for information and tickets.
It's the 21st century, a dangerous world. Preppers need food and medicine. Why not have the best? Enterfood.com does the shopping, prep, and packaging for you using the best organic ingredients on the planet. Right now, specials are available for listeners of this station. The all-organic vegetarian food storage pail and the herbal medicine cabinet. The pail holds up to 120 flavorful meals, super-packed fresh to last up to 15 years, soaked, cooked, or raw. The herbal medicine cabinet holds everything you'll need to cure common ailments. Use these items in an emergency or use them when camping. You can't beat these prices. Call to order now, 866-762-9238, 866-762-9238, or go to enterfood.com. That's E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com, enterfood.com.
Survival is not about the end of the world. It's not about a hypothetical plane crash or the latest violent storm. Survival is about the satisfaction of knowing you can take care of yourself and your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. CampingSurvival.com was started in 1956. No, not the .com part, the survival part. CampingSurvival.com has over 17,000 urban, wilderness, and preparedness items, supreme customer service, very low shipping, and no games. We look around to make sure we have the lowest prices. And CampingSurvival.com is 100% USMC veteran-owned. Don't base your survival on the latest spring-up-on-the-internet company. Do business with an authority on survival. CampingSurvival.com. Confidence born on preparation. Order today and use the promo code E2E for an additional 5% off your order. BHM Radio is on the air on the Preparedness Radio Network. BHM Radio is the official show for Backwoods Home Magazine, expanding the stories you love in print live across the net. And now, your hosts for BHM Radio, Colorado Ron and Bubba Da Vinci.
Hey, 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 welcome to Backwoods Home Magazine, Self-Reliance Exposed with Colorado Ron and Bubba Da Vinci. Hey, how you doing this morning, Colorado?
Doing good, man. How are you?
I'm pretty pumped. I've been out hitting Facebook all morning in between doing things. I got up at probably 10 minutes to 4 this morning, drank a full pot of coffee. And started packing for, you know, this trip that, because I leave at 4 o'clock tomorrow morning for Arlington, Texas, for the show.
Man, oh man, oh man. Yeah, I leave Monday, so I'll start packing. Actually, I leave Monday evening, so I'll pack on Monday. But yeah, it's crazy trying to gear up and get the last minute things before you leave the house. It's kind of nerve wracking. make sure you have everything in place before you leave.
Yeah, it's a combination for me, and I still didn't get it all done. I got stuff everywhere because we got a heat warning today. I got up this morning and did my weather.com check and to see what was going on, because last night it was beautiful. And then it says for the next 7 days, there's a heat warning, and that today was supposed to be like 100, over 100 degrees and humidity at like 92% or something like that. And they're giving us heat warnings about heat exhaustion and everything else. And I'm like, well, that's not the time I want to be in a trailer. So, so I decided that I'd get up early and start packing stuff, and then, getting ready for a radio show and doing all the last minute emails before the show is just, wow, just tons and tons of stuff. But I'm excited. Very excited.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's just been nuts around here trying to get ready. And, I got those rabbits set up last week, rabbit hutches. And we have a couple of rabbits in there. And I was trying to get all that done and trying to get all the automatic watering and auto feeders in so that, my goal is to be able to leave the house at any time and still the garden gets watered, the animals get fed, and all that stuff for at least a week, and be able to leave a week and not have to worry about it. And so it's all about trying to get automation done.
Well, you need to update your pictures. I mean, we're kind of the same way with the chickens, although, we're hiring a neighbor kid that's going to come over and collect the eggs every day, and we told them that they could keep the eggs and just make sure that everything's done. I mean, I've got an automatic water, and I've got an automatic food feeder to make sure that stuff's done. So they'll survive that way. But someone's still got to open the door to let them in and out, open it in the morning and close it in the evening, because I haven't come up with an automated door system yet. And and somebody's got to collect the eggs. So, you got to do what you got to do. But, yeah, send pictures. I'd love to see it. I can't – my wife's forbidding me to start the rabbits until I get the chickens done.
Smart woman.
Well, and considering I keep adding phases onto my chicken coop. I mean, next is a swimming pool.
I had a huge advantage last week.
What's that?
We got off the radio and I went in and my wife was sleeping, and I woke her up and said, "You all right?" She said, "No, I'm sick." So she stayed in bed. So I had to argue or negotiate with no one last Saturday. So I took off. I got the hutches. I got the rabbits. I got all the food. I got everything set up. I said, "I'm just going to go outside and work in the yard." And she says, "Okay." Took off with the truck and got everything set up.
Well, that's the way to do it. Although, I'm glad that my wife's around to pull back the reins every once in a while. Otherwise, I probably would be digging a swimming pool for the chickens, because I get a little carried away when I do these projects. And the good news is I try to do it inexpensively. It's not like I go and buy a bunch of things. I mean, my brother-in-law came over last weekend, and originally all we were going to be doing was building a small covered hutch area so that the fox or raccoons couldn't get into the cage when I let them out during the day. And then next thing I know, it became, well, let's make it 8 foot tall. No, let's make it 7 foot wide. Let's add a door to it. And by the time we were done during the day, he was just like, "Wow, you just built a second chicken coop." And I was like, "Yeah, I know." So yeah, I'm dreading the moment that we decide to get into the rabbits, because my wife handed me an article where they talk about actually building a rabbit warren for them. So it's, you basically build this giant area that they, and you put crates inside there and everything else, and they just naturally, like they would in an open area, breed. They'll separate each other. They have a common area. They do this whole thing, and it's just like setting up a rabbit warren. And I don't know. I like the idea of that. It's like having a giant ant farm.
Oh man, this is we're gonna get carried away here. I went over to pick up those rabbits, and the person that I picked up those rabbits from had Norwegian goats, miniature goats, and they were, you know, they were small. They were the size of a medium-sized dog. And he said, "You ever had fresh goat milk?" I said, "No." He says, "Come here." So we went to his house and he opened up the fridge, gave me a mason jar full of milk. That is the best milk I think I've ever had. I guzzled it all right there in front of him. Just couldn't stop drinking it. It was so good. And of course, we can't have goats, so.
Yeah, well, good for you.
That's next.
Goats are on our list. My brother-in-law has 10 or 12 over his property. And yeah, we love goat milk and goat cheese. Awesome. Goat cheese is awesome stuff. But the problem is that you have to get your family involved, and my daughters are just graduating from the chicken phase, because they go every day and I don't have to ask them now. And so, you know, we'll see how, you know, rabbits was the next stage, and we'll make sure they do okay with the rabbits before we do a goat, because you have to milk them every day. Unless you're going to let them have babies to drink up some of the milk, otherwise, you know, it's bad for the goat. They won't produce as much. So either you're out there milking every single day, and someone's doing that, or yeah, you breed them so that way the babies are taking up some of that excess milk. So yeah, pain in the butt.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, today's an interesting show. We're dedicating the entire show today to Appleseed. And, you know, Project Appleseed is an organization that they not only teach marksmanship, try to help you improve marksmanship and teach you either how to shoot or how to shoot better, but they also are teaching you your constitutional rights through history. And it's a great program, and we've been a supporter of it for a long time. And Backwoods Home Magazine has actually got Mr. Ayoub, and several people are going to be going to Oregon, and they will be doing their own Backwoods Home shoot. And then Self-Reliance Expo has Appleseed at its event next weekend. So we obviously do a lot with Appleseed. And you're a big fan of Appleseed,
yeah.
Right, Colorado?
Oh, yeah. Love Appleseed.
So, before we get into Appleseed, you know, people, you know, there's a reason why we want to teach responsible shooting and things like that. And you know, you guys had a horrible tragedy two nights ago in Colorado.
Yeah, we did here in Aurora. You know, I'm sure everybody's heard about it by now, but the midnight showing of Batman, Dark Knight, a guy actually came in the emergency door. He actually, from what I understand, he bought a ticket, was in the theater, left, but tried the emergency door open and went out to his car, geared up, and came back in and started shooting and killed several people in the theater.
Yeah, like 14 people. Several, 14.
Yeah, that's a lot of 14 people. Yeah. Yeah. So, and there was, I mean, I think there was a total of 52 injured, 15 in critical condition. So, yeah, I mean, he did some damage. Yes, he did. And you know, the thing that kind of stinks on that, and I got a little pet peeve with this thing. You know, I've been watching the news articles on it. I took my wife out to dinner last night, and there actually was a TV there, and everybody was kind of watching it, and so. My problem was is they keep talking about where he bought the guns, how did he get these guns, you know, and all that. And my issue was the exact opposite. It's like, why was there nobody in there that was packing themselves? And I started looking into this, and Aurora is pretty interesting as far as, well, Colorado is interesting in itself with open carry laws and concealed carry laws. And it's a jumbled mess, actually, here in Colorado. There's some places you can, there's some places you can't. It's a long list of things that you have to read and know in order to open carry or even conceal carry in certain places. So it makes it really confusing, makes it hard. And if they would make it easier, perhaps somebody in there could have been able to defend themselves a little bit better.
Right, and you know, it's funny. this is a tragedy no matter how it happened or what happened. And I hate how the media uses it to try to impose the gun laws and you know, make statements on how we shouldn't have guns because of this. And I know that luckily everything that I've read has said that that this doesn't look like it will affect anything. All the guns were obtained legally. His ammunition was obtained legally. And the tighter you make the laws, this guy, by all indications, no one would have known that he had any sort of problem. There's no reason to stop him from going ahead and making the purchases. And so tightening the laws doesn't necessarily protect or do anything for anybody. I mean, you can keep taking it away, but there's always a way to get these things. I personally believe wholeheartedly that the best way to for people to protect themselves is to be able to stop things like this and be armed themselves. When the first shot went off, if someone in there had been carrying or anything like that, they might have been able to stop before 14 people were dead and 58 injured. Anyway, it's sad, and our prayers go out to the families of not only the victims who were killed, but all 58 people that were injured in total.
Absolutely, it really stinks that this stuff kind of happens and it continues to happen. It amazes me that this is normal and outside appearance, this normal looking kid, and came in with full body armor, believe it or not. Everything from a armored cup all the way up. He was definitely prepared, but also at the same time gave up immediately as soon as the cops showed up. Went in willingly. So we'll figure out what the heck's going on. I'm sure he had a statement to make.
That's what I'm waiting for. It's to hear the hows and the whys, because as far as I've seen, lots of speculation. Blah blah blah, but nothing actually from him where he stated why he's done it. At least none that I've seen.
Yeah. Yep. So no, I haven't heard anything either. So we'll find out. And again, our prayers go out to everybody involved there and all the families, and wish everybody safe recovery. So the. See, the other thing we got to that I got to do this week, and I wanted to bring up, is I tried to do this new C Note challenge, $100 challenge, and I wanted to see how much stuff that I could get and prepare for, get my preparedness, my food storage ready, because a lot of people say, it costs so much, and one of the things I wanted to focus on this week was the. Medical stuff, because I needed a little bit more. And you introduced me to these, actually, with that BC powdered aspirin. And I tell you what, that stuff works amazing. I actually had a headache yesterday, and I took that, and literally by the time I walked across the room, it was gone. So, I love that stuff. And so I went down to a local discount store, and I was able to grab quite a bit of stuff for $100. So people out there that say they can't get stuff, cheap anymore, you're right, but you got to shop around a little bit, and you can find, I found 8 boxes of that aspirin, that BC aspirin stuff, 6 rolls of shop towels, 10 bottles of hand sanitizer, big bottles of Zep alcohol hand sanitizer, 6 packets of super glue, 71 candles, and then I got another 48 candles that were 12-hour candles, 11 cans of tuna, 4 tubes of chorizo. Have you ever had chorizo? Oh, I love that stuff, man.
Lived on chorizo when I was younger.
Yeah, I put that in the freezer. I got that for 50 cents a pack. And then 12 packs of those Hall's cough drops, 6 packets of Advil, 4 boxes of seasonings, 2 boxes of Alka-Seltzer, all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, you can do it. It can be done. And it was nice to be able to fill the medical box with all the aspirin and painkiller stuff and get that filled up and then be able to line the shelf with hand sanitizer. So,
I would never get hand sanitizer. That's funny. I would never put hand sanitizer in my kit.
Really?
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, yeah, I'm a firm believer. I guess this is just one of those things, and maybe we'll all have to get Joe and Amy online. I'm a firm believer that hand sanitizer is one of the things that's caused so many issues in the world.
No, 100% totally agree with that. But when you're working on somebody, it would be nice to have hand sanitizer.
Yeah, I guess. I guess that makes sense. But, yeah, people have grown, what the hell is he talking about? You know, we have become so neurotic about germs and the way we eat and everything else that we've caused a country that, you know, 20% to 25% of the kids in school have some sort of allergy. And kids get sick all the time. You know, when you were a kid, when I was a kid, and I'm in my 40s, you know, it wasn't uncommon for you to eat dirt. You know, you go out and make mud pies and you get dirt in your mouth and all that has different sorts of parasites and things like that. And you go to other countries and people can eat just about anything, whether it's been sitting out on the counter for, you know, 4 or 5 hours and they can, you know, the British age their meat. And our stomachs have become so sensitive and primarily and hand sanitizer is a good thing that proves this kind of thing is – We kill 100% of all germs, and so our bodies don't build up antibodies or build up immunities to this stuff anymore. And so we're not passing anything on to our children. And more children get sick. You know, it's the things that they get sick on every year is just amazing. Their immune systems just suck. And so I'm a firm believer. I like my kids to go out and get filthy, dirty. You know, I mean, they take baths every night because it makes sense, but – you know, we're not one of those families that walks around with a bottle of hand. And I see them. When we lived in Texas, there were mothers with kids would go out with it, carried hand sanitizer. And if they touched the shopping cart, they were sanitizing their hands.
Yeah.
And or carrying sanitizing wipes to wipe everything down. And I'm like, I don't get sick off this stuff. I mean, it's just, you know. And that's my thought process. But I guess I can see – for like your medical kit for sanitizing your hands before you work on a wound care or something like that. That makes sense.
Yeah, and that's where I put it. And I couldn't hardly pass it up. And it was 79 cents a bottle for these big Zep alcohol hand sanitizing bottles.
You go to Dollar Store?
And yeah, I went down to it's called the Kono Discount Store or something like that, and Discount Grocer. And, you know, it's kind of a scratch and dent type place. And you know, some of the stuff is kind of pushing the expiration dates, but... shop towels, for instance, I got those shop towels for 50 cents a roll. And I know at AutoZone, I buy them and they're like $3 a roll. So
I don't think we have one of those around here. I'll have to look. That's a great idea. Hey, are the BC, they look like pills.
That's the powdered form. It's a huge box. And inside there's like 10 of those little packets. And then each one of those is 6 of the powders. So that's a ton of aspirin I got there.
And how much were those each?
Those were $3 a box.
Dude, get me like 10 boxes and I'll cover you when you get to Texas.
I was wondering if you wanted some. I meant to call you. They are pushing the expiration date, but I mean, aspirin's going to last forever. Heck, to me, it doesn't matter. But I don't know if it matters to you.
No, it doesn't. If anybody doesn't know what this is, BC powder is an old powder. Truck drivers like to use it. And it's basically aspirin in powder form. You pour it into your mouth. But it also has a small trace amounts of caffeine, which gives you a little bit of a stimulant to with the aspirin to kind of help you get going. And as opposed to taking an aspirin where it has to go in your stomach and get digested, the powder – gets into the pores in the inside of your mouth and on your tongue and down your throat, so it activates quicker. And man, I love this stuff. I have it in every vehicle that we own. I have it in all my go kits. I have it. It is, you can pop an Advil and feel good in an hour. You can pop a BC powder and feel what you can feel it hitting in 5 minutes.
Yeah, oh, awesome. Or less. Yeah, exactly. I tried it. Like I said, I put it in yesterday. I had a headache. I walked across the bathroom to throw the little thing away, the piece of paper away, and by the time I turned around, I was walking out of the bathroom, and I realized it was going away. I could feel it, just, you know, no more headache. It was quick.
That's awesome. So I have one thing that I want to update everybody on. So before, and then we're going to get a break, and then when we come back, we will have Masad Ayoub, our good friend. We've had him on the show several times. And also, we will have the shoot boss from, I believe she's based out of Oregon, and I'll have to ask her. And that's Carol Wiley. And they'll be on here talking about several different things. But, you know, we added a new member to the family the other day, which was completely useless. And I think I posted some pictures on Facebook, but I'll post them up, which is Cotton Ball Feather Feet. And my daughters are just in love with this damn chicken. He's a rooster, and he's a bantam silky. And although he is really, really cool, this is like a pet. I think these things are basically worthless except for the pet, because they're almost blind. You know, he's got feathers hanging in front of his eyes, and he's completely pimped out. He looks like the chicken version of Liberace. And and he goes around strutting around, trying to crow and do his little thing, and cracks me up because he, like, last night, the girls, my wife and my oldest daughter and other girls were here, and I walk inside after doing my radio show, and I'm looking at the couch, and I'm getting ready to sit down, like, what's that on the couch? And I thought it was a big T-shirt wadded up. They had this rooster in the house on a towel, and he was just all there spread out with his big old puffy feathers, enjoying the air conditioning in the house, sitting next to the girl. And I was just, and they were just, they're all watching TV, my daughters, my wife, and the rooster. And I was just like, you've got to be kidding. You put this thing outside, and they're like, no, he's enjoying it. And I was just like, oh my God, what did I buy this rooster for? And the reason I bought him was because these silkies, you see them all the time. State fairs are coming up. When you go down there, you will see a ton of silkies. It's a favored 4-H type of chicken because it's pretty. And yet, you know, the people that had it before us would give it baths and blow dry it and do, I mean, all kinds of crap. But because they're handled so much, they're great. I mean, when the lady was showing us how she can flip it upside down. She trims its nails once a week. She would trim its beak. And for people to get used to handling chickens, they're great because they're not very big. They're not very aggressive. They can't see very much. So they're very easy to learn how to, you know, stick your finger in between the beaks to trim the beak and do all that stuff. And my girls have loved it. But the downside is it's not good for meat. It's really not good for laying eggs. Although it will do both. Well, this is the rooster. But apparently it's good enough to sit inside your house on a leather couch and watch TV and air conditioning. So,
oh, man.
I will get pictures up today of the rooster sitting on my leather couch watching TV.
That's going to be hilarious.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, considering how nice the chicken coops and everything else we have, it just cracks me up that I have a rooster that's sitting in leather. So,
you know, your next step is to put air conditioning in the chicken house.
I'm going to put chickens will get a heater before they get an air conditioning unit, and it's called the oven. Anyway, all right, guys, we're going to go ahead and jump to a break. We'll have three commercials, and then when we come back, we will be live with Masad Ayoub and Carol Wiley to talk about what's going on with Project Appleseed. And Mr. Ayoub, I think, is out in Seattle this weekend and next weekend doing training classes. So we'll be back in three, and we'll be live with Appleseed.
You're listening to the Preparedness Radio Network.
We'll be back after a word from our sponsor.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the freeze-dry guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disaster situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Thanks for listening to A Word from Our Sponsor. Now, back to the show on the Preparedness Radio Network.
Welcome back to Backwoods Home Magazine, Self-Reliance Exposed. As always, we have Colorado Ron and Bubba Da Vinci. You there, Colorado?
I'm here.
All right. Well, we are honored once again to have our old friend, Masad Ayoub, part of the show this morning. And also, we have the shoot boss from Project Appleseed, Carol Wiley, on with us this morning. How are you guys doing?
Hey, doing good on this end. It's good to be back.
Thank
nice
you very much.
Good
morning, Carol. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thanks.
Well, hey, Masad, so you're up in, are you up in Washington?
Yep, Firearms Academy of Seattle. In about an hour, we'll start a Rules of Engagement class for 2 days, two 10-hour days. That program is geared for private citizens who keep firearms or carry them for protection of themselves and their family. In midweek, we'll be doing a CLE class, continuing legal education for attorneys, on how to handle a shooting case or a deadly force case. And that's done through the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network. Friday, we will get the Washington State IDPA Championships, International Defensive Pistol Association. And next Saturday, we have a stress fire shooting class.
Oh, wow. That sounds pretty comprehensive. Now, do you have, is this open to the public, I assume?
The CLE is not. That's attorneys, and we open it also to instructors and police officials who have responsibility for investigating homicides and officer-involved shootings. The rules of engagement class and the shooting class are open to any private citizen. We do need to document something like a carry permit or some other proof that they've passed criminal record check.
Gotcha. Gotcha. You know, I have a quick question on that, actually. The I'm sure you've heard about what happened down here in Colorado.
Yes.
At the theater. Yeah. Yeah. Now, do you see, when something like that happens, I'm just kind of curious, do you see a bump in activity on your end or not?
Not significantly. You see the bump in the talking heads. You see the bump in literally minutes after it hits the news waves. The anti-gun people are dancing in the blood of the victims.
Yeah.
You see it on CNN that Twitter last night, this is why, or actually within hours of the shooting, that this is why guns should be 100,000 times more difficult to get. No, sir, this is why it should be about 100,000 times harder to get a job as an opinion former for CNN. If anybody had done due diligence homework, they would have found out that particular cinema in Aurora had a no-gun policy. Of the many thousands of Denver area citizens lawfully licensed to carry concealed weapons, any one of whom might have put a bullet in that monster's head and short-circuited the mass murder, they were forbidden by the cinema policy to do so. And once again, a proof that the so-called gun-free zone really becomes a hunting preserve for psychopathic mass murderers to find victims who can't fight back.
You know, I agree 100%, and that's kind of been my my take on this thing from the beginning, and I expressed that with Bubba earlier today. It was kind of frustrating. You know, everybody else was looking at it from on the media standpoint, was looking at it, you know, where did he get these guns, and how did he get these guns, and my question was a whole movie theater, nobody had a gun? Why? So it was a little bit different thinking, and then come to find out that you weren't allowed to have one in the theater. Made it frustrating.
That's basically big unilateral victim disarmament.
Yeah. Okay, so now, you said you're in Seattle doing this?
Yeah, the school is Firearms Academy of Seattle, which is where it was founded circa 1990. It's now headquartered in the town of Onalaska, Washington, near Chehalis, one of the all-time great firearms training centers.
Now, how long have you been with Project Appleseed?
Well, I'm not really with Project Appleseed officially. I'm just an enthusiastic supporter of the concept.
Supporter, yeah.
A couple of years ago, a girlfriend and I went to one after hearing about it for so long. And just absolutely fell in love with the approach. A few months ago, when my girlfriend's oldest grandson joined the Marine Corps, we took him to an Appleseed, kind of trying to get him kick-started before he goes to boot camp, and spent a few days with him on our range. And it was more proof. These folks have it down to a science. You've got classic rifle marksmanship, the deep drilling of safety, and with it all, something you do not see in any of the other shooting disciplines, the absolutely stirring lectures of Revolutionary War history and how it ties into the modern ethos of the armed citizen and the citizen soldier who chooses to serve his or her country in the armed forces. I can tell you that I grew up, you know, a short drive from Concord and Lexington, and as a kid in elementary school in the 1950s with the Cold War and everything, they were pretty heavy on, you know, the patriotism and pride in America and, you know, fighting the Iron Curtain threat. And with all of that, I never saw a lecture with the human touch, the human spirit of what those days in Concord and Lexington meant in weaving the fabric of this nation, as was presented by the Appleseed instructors. They're absolutely rigid that the red hats, the people who are teaching this, not only have the marksmanship down to an absolute uniform science, but that they have every historical detail correct, and they bring in the personal elements, the elements of courage, the elements of sacrifice of those courageous militiamen and citizens and soldiers.
That's
why I become such a big fan.
Yeah, and I agree. They do such an amazing job, you know, at least from the expo standpoint, where we get to watch them there do their presentations and things like that. It's pretty awesome. Now, one of the questions I had for you about your classes is, now you do these pretty much all over the country. Am I right? You kind of.
Yep, I do.
Every time we talk, like here you're somewhere else doing a class.
We Arabs are a nomadic people.
So how does somebody find out how to participate in one of your classes?
They would go to massadayoubgroup.com. That's massadayoubgroup.com. And there would be descriptions of all the classes and a rough idea of the curriculum of each and the schedule for most of the coming year. We do all four corners of the country and the heartland, and there's usually something within striking distance for most everybody.
Awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely go out there and check it out. You know, it was funny. I was in the store last night after my wife and I went on a date, and we went to the store real quick and saw a magazine there, and I grabbed it because it had that new 357 on the cover, and I opened the magazine, and there's your pretty face right there. Bam! And I was like, hey, well, look at that. I'll be talking with him tomorrow.
If it was a pretty face, it must have been a very old retro edition.
Oh, man. Now, the... What are some of the future articles that we can expect to see coming out in Backwoods Homes?
Well, on the shooting side, I'll certainly be writing up the Backwoods Homes-sponsored Appleseed. I think it's a great joining of two modern American traditions that celebrate long-term American benchmark values. I'll probably be writing about it from the shooting side. And I would expect Dave Duffy and some of the headquarters staff will be talking about some of the history and, you know, how the two entities got together and all of that. But I'm really looking forward to it.
Awesome. Yeah, you know, I'm pretty excited to see when that comes out. I'm sorry, Bubba, did you want to say something?
No, that wasn't me. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Now, in your last article, you talked about, in Backwoods Home Magazine, on page 46, in the July-August issue, you talked about barrel lengths on guns and how what they should be. That was a pretty interesting article.
Well, basically, one of the evolutions we've seen over the years with guns is, with everything else, we've been able to make them more compact without losing the efficiency and the power that once required size. And did so at the price of bulk, accessibility, and maneuverability. Today we have short carbines, heck, even sniper rifles with 20-inch barrels that are more accurate than the 26-inch barreled guns that would have won a national rifle championship in the year 1930. And, of course, if you compare it to the muskets of the Minutemen, which were occasionally, when you set it on the butt, the muzzle would be over the holder's head. We've come a long way. You look at the short M4 carbines now that our soldiers and Marines are deploying in the War on Terror. And you have things that are much more maneuverable when you're coming out of a Humvee or a personnel carrier, but will still deliver the goods at even the reasonably long distances of engagement that we're seeing, for instance, in Afghanistan.
Nice. Well, hey, we know that you're at a shoot and you're in the middle of a some training there, so we don't want to keep you too long. We really appreciate you supporting Project Appleseed and all the awesome articles that you put in Backwoods Home Magazine. You know, I love reading your articles. Actually, it's one of the first ones I do. I read when I get in there. I got to get in there and get my knowledge up on these guns. And it's pretty amazing how diversified they are. You know, I mean, I never thought. I was like, how many articles can you write about guns? And every time I get in there, it's something new. It's like, wow. I never would have thought
of that. Well, the gun culture is a broad area, and I really enjoy doing it for Backwoods Home because most of the gun magazines I write for, you know, I'll be in the law enforcement corner or the tactical firearms corner. And Backwoods Home gives me a broader perspective. I can write the kind of articles that Lucian Carey wrote in True Magazine or Pete Koloff in Argosy when I was growing up. Not that I'm as good a writer as they are, but at least now I have as broad a canvas to paint on as they did, even if I'm not as skilled.
Great. I love it. I love it. Well, hey, Masad, I appreciate your time, and I know that you got to get back there, so we'll let you get going. And
thank you, brothers, and thanks for all the good work you're doing on Backwoods Home Radio.
Thank you so much, sir. If you guys want to see where his training is, you guys can go to MasadAyoubGroup.com. Check him out there. Find out where he's doing some training. I highly recommend getting involved in any of his training if you can. See where you can find one that's local to you that you can jump into.
All right. So, Carol, how are you doing?
Yes. I'm good, thank you. How are you guys doing?
All right. Sorry about that. Well, we I think Masad signed off.
Yep.
Okay. So, let's kind of take off from where Masad was. You have a shoot coming up here in just a little under like 3 weeks, right?
Right. Two weeks from this weekend. Yeah,
okay.
The 4th and the 5th of August.
4th and the 5th, right. And that is now, where exactly is the shoot being held?
It's in Brookings. It's actually kind of between Brookings and Gold Beach up in the mountain. I don't have the address right in front of me. It's on Ted Fitzgerald's land called Mountain Ranch.
Okay.
And let's see.
Don't worry, we're a laid-back show here. Colorado Ron and I are never prepared.
Okay, okay, here's the address. It's on Carpenterville Road in Brookings. It's called Mountain Range, and again, it's Ted Fitzgerald's private land. He has been so gracious to allow us to hold the shoot there, which is wonderful, because we could make it a large shoot. He has a lot of land there. So we are just thrilled. I'll tell you what. When Masad was talking, I thought, you know, how can I top what he said about Appleseed? He's such a good friend of Appleseed, and I just can't wait to instruct him in rifle marksmanship.
As if I could. I was just going to say, I think I would get performance anxiety. When I do my business, and you know, I do a lot of speaking for companies, and my job is operations, and occasionally I'll get sent on a job where I'm in charge and I have to work with someone that I know has tons of experience and tons of skill, and
right.
I'm like, okay, do I really want to try to instruct this guy? And then you're always wondering what's going through their head. Like,
exactly. You know, I thought maybe what I should do is when he shows up, we'll have our instructor briefing. And then I'll just put an instructor cap on his head.
that's a curious thing. Don't you have to go to so many shoots and go through a specific sort of training in order to get one of those? It's a red cap, correct?
That's true. You start as an orange hat instructor in training, as an IIT zero, instructor in training zero, and you work through promotions of 1, 2, 3, and 4 so that we know that you are able to do the skill set to standard and verbatim before you then are awarded your red hat, which is a full instructor. So it takes a while. People can go at their own pace. Some people can maybe do that in 6 or 8 shoots. Some people take a year to just get very comfortable at each level of abilities before they move forward to the red hat.
And you know, you guys are training to what standard?
We're trained to U.S. Army standard.
I'm sorry, continue.
The U.S. Army standard, the way the Army, what I am understood that this is how they used to train and probably still do, but not to the degree that we do. We have trained 500 Army reservists. We have trained Army marksmen. We've trained many military troops in the past couple, 3 years because they don't get this amount of training that they used to.
Right. And I, what I'm just trying to establish for people that are listening is when you're going to these shoots, it's not just a bunch of it's not an organization that got a bunch of people together and came up with their own set of rules and said, okay, this is how we're going to train. You're basically training, and I don't know if this is accurate. I mean, I would love to get the actual information sometime, but I heard that you guys are training from like pre-67 marksmanship standards, which is marksmanship long rifle, because you train completely differently when you're training with like an AR-15 type weapon than you are with a long rifle. And when most people come to your shoot, you train like they did pre-67 and the Marines still did with bolt action, long range shooting, you know, using iron sights, things like that.
Actually, now, I think initially Appleseed started out more with, like, shooting the M1 Garand with iron sights, and that was where people started. That is not the case anymore. We do kind of, it's kind of a rule of thumb. It's not set in stone or anything. Just bring a 22 caliber semi-automatic. If you have a bolt rifle, that's fine. It's going to give you a little trouble when we do the time trials because it's hard working that bolt as fast as you can, you know, fire a semi-automatic rifle. But the 22 caliber is, you don't get a lot of recoil. The ammunition is inexpensive because we go through 350 rounds or more each weekend. But you know, whatever you have, our motto is, you know, bring what you have and shoot what you brung. And that's fine. People bring their AR-15s. Depending upon the range and the caliber restriction, they may not be able to bring anything larger than like 30 caliber. But we work with people and whatever kind of firearms they bring as far as rifles go. It's just easier with a 22 caliber semi-automatic with a USGI sling on it.
And out of curiosity, yeah, you said you go through how many rounds? 350 rounds?
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
Wow. Okay. So how long is your typical training session? Let's talk specifics. How long is the training session in Oregon in a couple weeks?
The Appleseed Clinic is established to be a two-day marksmanship clinic. We go through safety. We go through steady hold factors on the four positions of standing, seated, transition standing to seated, standing to prone, and prone. We use the sling as part of our shooting platform for accuracy and stability. And so we train each step along the way, always reinforcing the safety and instructing the students how to use the six steps of firing the shot, because consistency builds accuracy, and if you are firing the same way every single time, you're going to get consistency and you're going to get accuracy. So it's a really nice program as far as step-by-step learning how to do it. And it does take time to incorporate all those things. And we tell people, don't worry about, you know, if you don't shoot expert on the Army qualification test, which is what we use as our standard, whereby someone will earn their rifleman patch. They have to shoot expert on the Army qualification test, which is scoring 210 or better out of a possible 250 to achieve the coveted rifleman patch. But it's very laid out, and I wouldn't call it rigid, but it is very verbatim into standard. And within we have a lot of fun, you know, as far as the marksmanship goes. But there, we don't have, you know, certainly any rigidity or rules on what rifle you have to bring.
Well, I can see economically. I mean, 22 caliber long rifle, I think Walmart now. Don't quote me on this, folks. Yeah, you can get anywhere from 350 to 500 rounds for like $25. You know, but 223 rounds is going to be a heck of a lot more expensive than that.
It is.
You know,
someone will call me and ask me, you know, what should they bring, and I just say, you know, if you have a 22 caliber, that would be the most budget wise. you know, rifle to bring. And then if you want to, once you've learned the skills at 25 yards with the 22, then it's very easy being instructed in the come-up for your rifle based on your rifle and your ammo to shoot long distance or known distance with your 223. And that's a lot of fun. And so you can easily translate the skills you learn at 22 or 25 yards out to known distance, out to 500 yards, which is what we instruct for achieving the rifleman's quarter mile.
Now, I have a couple of logistics questions. Number one is, do you have to get any type of special permit or licensing to do a shoot on your personal property? So, I mean, you're not going to a range that's insured or things like this. So the gentleman who's loaned you his property, if I wanted to set up a shoot and I've got 200 acres, could I call out the local Appleseed and say, hey, come use my property and let's do a set up a shoot?
We would absolutely love that. I would, however, encourage you to check your zoning requirements, whether you are in city or out of city, and your county requirements. They may have some requirements based on where the houses are in your area, you know, or some restriction on the caliber. And certainly you have to have sufficient birming around. So you might have to push some dirt around to make it be okay to use your land as a range. But a lot
I'll just
of people
invite
do.
Colorado around.
Pardon me?
I said I'll just invite Colorado and, you know.
That's right. Invite
meal.
Him over and bring
you
your
can
tractor.
Push all the dirt. That's right.
But it is kind of fun. We were at the NRA convention in St. Louis this past spring, and we had at least 8 people come up to us and say, I would like to have an Appleseed on my land. Will you contact me? And so we said, oh, let's think about that. Okay. So we're in the process of working with some people and some smaller ranges to do just that. They're, you know, inviting Appleseed now to come in and use their private land. So we're really excited about that because our big thing is to grow. You know, we want to double every year so we can reach all the Americans, not only to teach the rifle marksmanship, which is our heritage, but also the history, as Masad was saying, because as our founder, Fred, will tell you, the marksmanship is really the hook to get people there. Our goal, our mission, is to awaken Americans to their heritage and history and to get civically involved in their towns and counties and states.
And I think that's a great goal overall.
Mm-hmm.
So my next question is, you know, for people who would like to attend this, and actually, you know, I was talking to Jim and Kim once before, and I don't remember what the answer is, so I'm just going to ask it again. Yeah.
Okay.
Does someone have to have any sort of license in order to come? And the reason I'm asking that is, you know, it's amazing. You know, if you hunt, you have to have a hunting license. You know,
mm-hmm.
There's no sort of licensing other than you have to legally be able to own a firearm to attend an Appleseed, correct?
Right. Now, I can only really speak for Illinois. I'm from Illinois, and we do have to have firearm owner identification cards, FOID cards, to purchase rifle or, you know, any firearms or ammunition, and there are wait times with those. But as far as the actual training weekend, you do not have to have a FOID card. You do not have to have any kind of registration. Other than somebody in that vehicle has to have their FOID card to be able to legally carry, you know, purchase the ammo and the rifle and carry the equipment to the range. But, you know, someone can come and bring their wife and their kids, and the wife and the kids don't have to have any kind of FOID card, and you don't have to have it because it's an instructional class.
So, boy, you just hit on something and I didn't know. In the state of Illinois, you have to have carry a card. And you also have a waiting period, and you have to have a card in order to buy a rifle?
We do, in Illinois.
Wow.
You have to wait 24 hours. I would walk into a store and want to buy a rifle, I would fill out the paperwork and then come back the next day and get it. And for a handgun, it's a 3-day wait.
Wow. I'm just so not used to that. Coming from Texas and then coming up here to Iowa, I can pretty much walk in.
Yeah.
I can pretty much walk in, slap my money down, and walk out right there.
Right.
You know, with with whatever, and I just couldn't imagine having to wait for a rifle. That's just amazing.
Yeah, we do, yeah. But once you get to the range, you know, it's an instructional program, so people don't need to have any special anything as far as coming to the program other than somebody having to carry it.
Now, a common question that we get quite often is, does Appleseed do any handgun training, or is it all rifle?
We do not do any handgun training. There was a rumor about thinking about it at one point. I haven't heard anything lately. So, you know, that may be something that Fred wants to get into down the road, and that would be fine. You know, we're kind of busy doing what we're doing right now with the rifles. So we'll see.
And is there a reason for it? I mean, besides just, you know, bandwidth, or, you know, or is it I'm just curious to see if you know if there's a reason behind just doing rifles.
Well, based on, you know, certainly our history of April 19, 1775, the day the Revolutionary War began, people used long barreled muskets. And there were a few rifles back there, you know, rifle barrels, but mostly muskets. And they were long rifles. And so, you know, that's just where Appleseed started as our history. And not too many people do own a Brown Bess. We do, but not too many people. But we're not going to bring it out to Brookings. It'd be a little too much to transport, I think.
Okay. Now let's go back to the physical event. If people wanted to find information on this event, where would they go?
They would go to www.appleseedusa.org. And that would open up the web page. In the right-hand side, there's a picture of a map.
Mm-hmm.
And they could just click on the map, and that'll take them to registration, the registration page. I have it open right now in front of me for Brookings, and you can select between information or to register. And if you click on the information link, active link, then you go to a page that has all about where the range is and how to get there, what hotels are around, that kind of information for someone coming into the area. And then you can also select the registration, and then you can register.
Okay, and what's the fee for registration in an event like this? Now, this is being put on in conjunction with Backwoods Home Magazine, so is there something special going on, or is it just a standard shoot?
I really kind of wanted it to just kind of stay as a standard shoot in terms of our fee structure, just because we have expenses to cover. We're an all non-for-profit organization. All of us, the 800 or so, 900 or so instructors all across the country, we're all volunteers. So, you know, the organization helps cover our expenses. So for an adult male over 21, the fee is $70 for the 2 days. For women and children are essentially free except for a registration fee. And for women, that's $10, and for children, it's $5. It's not a whole lot of money. We just found that it cuts down on people who would be no-shows. If they
right.
pay a
and
bit
does,
of a registration fee, they come.
And does that get you a card? Because you guys have cards, like almost like a membership, or is that just the cost for the shoot? Is there additional cost to become a member?
That is for the shoot. The cost to be RWVA member, and that's the Revolutionary War Veterans Association, that's our corporate head, that is a $20 registration fee for the year.
And what does that membership get you?
Well, what that does is that it does qualify you once you have that membership and attend a two-day clinic, it'll fill out a form for you, and that will give you your marksmanship and your facilities or your organizational membership that you can go to CMP program to be able to purchase an M1 Garand from their program. We also, with a membership, if you're a male over 21 and not in the military or law enforcement, you can get what's called the Rifleman Opportunity Card. We put a sticker on the back of that card, and you can continue to come to Appleseed as many as you want for that year and shoot free from that point on or until you make Rifleman. So it's a nice
That's
way
true.
That once you put put out your $70 and then your $20 membership, basically you can shoot free until you shoot Rifleman.
Now, one of the things that you mentioned, which is where I was trying to get to, is once you become a member and you do your two-day clinic, you have the ability to buy an M1 Garand. And,
correct.
You know, those are becoming harder and harder to find.
Mm-hmm.
And these are original backstock Garands, right?
Correct.
And that's fantastic. And
mm-hmm,
you guys have been doing this for how long?
Since Fred kind of got it started in 2005. 2006 is considered to be when Appleseed really got going.
So
6 years.
Yeah. So you guys have been supplying M1 Garands to people who have essentially gone and improved their skills and the ability to get a M1 Garand.
Right.
For almost 6 years now, and the price is incredibly below what I've seen market value other places.
Right. And that's directly through the CMP program. You fill out, you have to be a U.S. citizen and send in documentation to that effect and an application. You can go to the CMP website, CMPOD website, and just download the information and send it in, and then you can order ammunition or the Garands from them. And they send it straight to your house because they're considered collectors.
Right.
You don't have to go through a firearm license place.
Yeah, you're not sending, like for you, would you still have to show that you have your card, or because this is considered a collector's piece, they're basically, you're just sending in the paperwork that should, you know, I don't even think it's background check information. It's just
it's just
a standard information sheet.
Yeah, it's just to verify that you are a U.S. citizen, basically.
Right.
Because that's one of the requirements. And as far as being an Illinois citizen, I would not have to. I don't think I have to show my FOID card. I do have the application at home. I've never sent it in. I need to do that. I've been busy instructing.
How long have you been an instructor, Carol?
I came to Appleseed 3 years ago. My husband decided that I needed to have a handgun at home, and I said, I don't want one unless I know how to shoot it properly. So I went through some NRA training, and then we happened to run into some people at a gun show advertising Project Appleseed, and I said, well, this sounds really good. We need to do this. And that was in May of 3 years ago, 2009, and one shoot later, I scored Rifleman, and the next couple shoots, and what was good for me is that I didn't have any rifling skills to start with, so I learned everything correctly the first time. And so by my fourth Appleseed, I was scoring expert on every AQT, and I was clearing every red coat, and I thought, well, maybe I can do what Appleseed said, which is learn today and teach tomorrow. Maybe I can do that. That I had built enough confidence that I could do that. And so then it was a matter of going through the stages of an instructor in training and building my skill set until I became confident, and then learning the history and teaching the history. We don't call it teaching the history, we call it preaching the history, and then becoming a full instructor. Now, in Illinois, and probably many places, there's always a need for a shoot boss. And so once I became a full instructor, after a few shoots, I thought, well, you know, maybe I could go ahead and do that because we have the need. And we have an urgent need to reach as many Americans as we can. So I went through the three-step. There's an additional at least three or more shoots to go. You're shadowed with a mentor, shoot boss, a designated shoot boss, to learn, you know, how to be an effective shoot boss before you then are awarded your green hat. You earn your green hat, which is that of a shoot boss. And so now I've been a shoot boss for a year. And it's been a busy year, but it's very rewarding, so rewarding, meeting Americans all over.
Out of curiosity, you're in Illinois, but you're going to Oregon. How did that end up happening? How did you end up heading all the way out there to the West Coast for this event?
I'm glad you asked. We had a shoot a couple years ago called the Waterman 300 in a little tiny town called Waterman, Illinois. And we tried to get, there's a 600-yard range, and we lined people up sideways to a large berm and tried to get 300 people on that line. We got 206, which was just wonderful. Had all, you know, this long line of shooters and instructors. So it was a lot of fun. And Baffert's Home did a picture on the front of their magazine with the Minuteman for the April shoot in April, and had the Minutemen standing there with the Betsy Ross flag, and then on the ground prone are some Appleseed shooters shooting down 25 yards. It was really nice. So my husband, Philip, called Dave Duffy and said, you know, asked if we could, and Annie, and asked if we could use that for our poster for this Waterman 300 shoot. And they graciously consented. And so Philip established a relationship with Dave Duffy and told Dave, look, if you guys just find a range for us, we will come out and put a shoot on for the people of Backwoods Home Magazine. So over the past couple of years, they visited on and off. And then about 4 months ago, Dave called up and said, we've got a range for an Appleseed shoot. And we said, okay. and Philip called Fred and said, Fred, we've got the shoot out for Backwoods Home. You need to send us out there and we'll go do it. And he said, okay. So here we are. It was pretty simple once the range was established. And we're just really excited to get out there and meet the folks from Backwoods Home. I hear they're going to be at the expo in Arlington this next weekend.
Yeah, so we have a whole gaggle.
Good. So I told my son lives in Arlington, and he's already shot rifleman. So I told him that he needed to get out there and meet the people from Backwoods Home and also the Appleseed people there. So hopefully they'll show up at the expo this next weekend.
Well, we appreciate the extra people.
Yeah, that's how we got out there, and we're looking forward to meeting all the people from Backwoods Home and putting on the shoot. The last I looked, and I should look again, the last I looked, we had 54 people signed up. Oh, no, there's a second. There's 19 spots left out of 75. We're really about 20. So 55.
So
we have 55 people signed up so far.
How many people can be at the class?
75. We did have it set up for 50, and then with more than 3 weeks left, we had 48 people already. So I said, you know, let's go ahead and open it up to 75, because I don't want people, since we know the range will accommodate, it's pretty wide open. I called the landowner, and I asked him if that would be all right to expand it to 75 pre-registrations, and he said sure, so that's what we're doing. But, you know, 55, that's a good size. That's a really good size shoot. We'll probably have it. Well, I have some really good redhead instructors coming, so we'll just divide them up along the firing line, and they'll have their own area that they'll oversee throughout the shoot.
What's the average size for a class?
You know, last year, well, it certainly varies across the country. There's some areas like in California who have large shoots all the time. Our shoots in Illinois used to average anywhere between 18 to 25, 27, and now they are smaller. And I've been concerned for a while, really most of this year, was that this economy has kind of impacted our numbers negatively. We still have the same amount of shoots. We're in all pretty much the same places, plus a few new places. But the numbers are down to where 12 to 15 would be a good size shoot now. I think people are kind of watching their pennies.
Yeah, I think you're right. But I think it's an important lesson to learn when you get out there. But, yeah, the economy has hit everything really hard, and people have to kind of watch what they're spending their cash on.
Mm-hmm, right.
Okay, well, Carol, we got to get ready for our next segment, so we want to thank you for being on. Let's run through all the information again, just so everybody knows. What's the URL if they want to participate in either the Backwoods Home shoot or any shoot that's coming up for Appleseed?
They go to appleseedusa.org and select on the map on the right-hand side whichever state of the union they want to go to, and that'll open up the registration. Now, they can also go to the active links across the top. They can have their little drop-down RWBA links and go to the RWBA forum and get registered on the forum. And then they can also find registration and the schedule through there, but they can also find a lot of interesting discussions that are going on our forum, too.
Okay. And the Appleseed shoot. God, that's a mouthful. Appleseed shoot in Oregon is on August 4th and 5th, correct?
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay. And the unit, the price per person is, once again?
For men over 21, it's $70. Now, if you are a current law enforcement officer, active military or reservist, or an elected official with identification, you shoot free. And there's no cost at all.
And women
for
and
women,
children?
Women, there's a $10 pre-registration fee, and for children, it's $5 pre-registration fee.
Now, if Colorado Ron puts on a long wig and wears a dress, where's he at? Somewhere in the middle, like $45?
He shoots free. If you come in any kind of period dress, you shoot free. And we have had people do that. One of our board members at our local range, when we put on our last Appleseed shoot there, he came just to observe, decided to shoot, and then the next day he said, now, if I come in my period dress, what does that do? I said, well, then I'm going to give you back your money because you'll be shooting free. And so he did, and then he actually told some of the history also for Rogers Rangers. He dresses as a Rogers Ranger, and that was a lot of fun too.
That's very cool. I was actually talking about a real dress, but that's okay. Colorado's got really good legs.
If he wants to, but I don't think that'll work. Oh, funny.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Carol, and I look
You're
forward.
Welcome.
And how many spots do you have? One more time. How many spots do you have left?
I think we have roughly 20 spots open.
All right, guys. So if you're out there in the Oregon area or anywhere in the United States, you know, that want to learn how to shoot properly and to some really good standards and get some really good information on the Constitution and your rights and the history of America and how we got here, go to an Appleseed shoot. You know, Fred has done an outstanding job putting this together, and the volunteers like Carol and Jim and Kim and everybody else that are out there that volunteer their time put on an incredible show because they care. So participate where you can and support this. We really, really, really think it's a great thing.
Thank you so much.
All right. Kim, we'll talk to you later, Carol.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye. All right, Colorado. I mean, I wish we could get, you know, unfortunately, that's like the weekend right after our event. And if I even suggested to my wife I was going to get on a plane to go to Oregon and do a shoot after I had just been gone for 10 days, I would be the target, not the shooter.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. I know. It's tough, man. I want to get to all this stuff. It's just, I don't know. You can only do so much, I guess, right?
Well, we keep trying to do more and more, but we don't, my wife says I don't know when to stop. If I'm not completely stressed out and under pressure, I'm not happy, and I still don't get everything done. So, yeah. I just figure that's the only way I get anybody to listen to me is when I'm, like, pulling my hair out and stomping around because nothing's going out. Other than that, I'm quite frankly, I'm not that interesting. So, if I'm always talking about all the things that we have left to do and how impossible it is and everything. You know who I am? I'm like Scotty on Star Trek. Yeah, the character would be completely boring if he wasn't saying, "Captain, we can't get enough power." You know, if he didn't have that line and pulled out the the thing at the end of the day, there would be no reason for his character. And I'm kind of in the same position, which is like if it wasn't for me running around with my hair burning and us trying to get these events off the ground and all this other stuff, I mean, quite frankly, I wouldn't be that interesting. So, yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, man. All right. Well, before we bring
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, before we take our next break and everything else, I wanted to kind of throw a couple more things out there. Where are you with your book? I had you listed, like, for last week on to interview you on your book thing, and because you said you were all done, and I haven't heard a thing about it since for like a month, which makes sense.
I know.
Because we've been running around with our hair on fire.
Right. Well, that's the problem is I just haven't had a chance. It's pretty much done. I just need an afternoon to just knock it out and be done with it. But, you know, it's one of those things that, I kind of went back and forth. I just sent it to you and get your opinion on it. But, you know, I want to do no frills, just the facts. You know, get this, purchase this, this is where to get that, this is how to set up that. You know, and so I didn't go into a lot of long speeches and I didn't fill it with a bunch of fluff. So, you know, it's only like 20 pages long.
That's not a book, buddy. That's a pamphlet.
Yeah, exactly. But it's done. But I'm looking at it going, there's nothing else. I keep going through it, and I keep going through it, and it's like, there's nothing else to add unless I just add fluff, and I don't want to do that. So, you know, and it's all about just getting your home prepared where you stand, you know, preparing where you stand. So, you know, there's only so many things to talk about when it comes to preparing your home. Send it to me.
We need to expand it. I don't think that's, a thin book is 80 pages.
A thin book is 80 pages?
Yeah, thin book is 80 pages. Believe me, I'm buying a lot of books from Bubba's bookshelf. I mean,
I really wasn't thinking on printing it. I was just going to do like an electric or electronic, but I guess we could print it. But if I printed it, that's just a pamphlet. It needs to be a lot longer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the I just got a book, a prepper's handbook. Don't be scared. Don't panic. Just prepare. A guide to surviving on your own. And that's by a guy named Zion Prepper. And it was one of the ones I purchased recently. And his book, when I got it, it was like, wow, this is, there's not much to it. It's like, it's at 84 pages. And that's with the glossary. And that's 84 pages with the cover page, the introduction, and then the glossary. And I mean, it's fairly succinct. And yeah, I've got to get through it. It's one of the ones that's in my giant pile of books to read. But I think your topic is interesting. That's why I wanted to kind of touch base. It's been on my giant whiteboard for about a month.
I'll send over to what I have.
See each other in 2 days.
Yeah. And I'll show it to you because it's not, like I said, I just didn't want fluff. I'm tired of reading, you know, I read it was 150 pages. And honestly, 75 pages were pretty much worthless. I won't tell you what book it was, but it was just like, whatever. You know, and it's like, I don't need this information. This is all fluff, 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 fluff. And, you know, and they added charts and all this other nonsense. It's like, come on, man. Just give me the, you know. And so that's where I'm having an issue trying to figure that out.
Yeah, I feel you. I mean, I get what you're saying because since I'm reading all these things for the show, I go through the same thing. It's like, okay, regurgitated, regurgitated, regurgitated. And it's kind of funny because I'm brutally honest with the people. I was just talking with Mark Smith, and I really like people like Mark who kind of take everything in stride. And I said, well, look, you know, I've read through your book, and your book's, I don't remember what it is, 200 and some odd pages. And I said, you know, probably 60% of it is information that's in every book. So, you know, good information, but nothing great there. But it was the information that he added that I don't typically see in books, that other 20% or so that I was looking at, and I was just like, holy cow, this is good stuff. So I think that you need to publish, you know, the other stuff too. But as long as there's a Bubba approved it. I basically said, you know, guys, the 20% that's in here makes the book worth the purchase. The rest of it is just good information to have if you don't already have it. You know, and that's what anything is. I mean, any book that you buy on there's 1,000 books on fixing your car, right? But what makes the book worthwhile is that one thing that tells you, oh, this is the easier way to get your dash off.
Right.
You know, and then all of a sudden you're like, ooh, well, that just made the whole book worth it. And that, I think that's what you're looking for on this stuff because it's, you know, people don't realize self-reliance has been around as long as man's been around. So it's not like anybody's going to come up with any new information. You know, it's all been said and done before. It's just how you account for it.
Oh, exactly. Right. And it's just, yeah. So, yeah, we'll I'll show it to you next week and get some pointers and get this thing knocked out, because I'm tired of sitting here and not getting it done. But I'll have time after the expo, finally.
Are you sure? Because it seems like right after that we have Hickory, North Carolina on September 14th and 15th.
Oh, man. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Yeah, no, I think I'll have a little bit more time, but I got to get it done. It should have been done already. You know, I should be having it presented at this expo. It's kind of a shame that I don't, you know.
Yeah. Well, the last thing I want to cover before we take a commercial break is we're booked for our pig hunt.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
So for those of you guys who haven't heard, Colorado said, hey, we need kind of a – we're going to be in Texas. We need to blow off some steam and everything else. And we got some – yeah, we have all these preppers around. Why don't we do something strange? And he suggested a Texas pig hunt, which is – why don't you explain what that is?
Dogs and knives.
Right, baby, dogs and knives. We're going to go out, and we are going to – on Sunday evening after the event, we're going to try to go get ourselves wounded – by going out with dogs, and they're going to try to they'll lock down some boar for us, and then we have to dispatch them with a knife. And I'm pretty psyched because we have Doc Bones is going with us, so we have a surgeon on hand in case one of us gets injured. And and I don't know if we've confirmed whether or not Southern Prepper 1 can go. Unfortunately, Jack Spearco cannot go, which is I'm disappointed. I'd love to see Jack do it. But we do have a couple of the guys from Blade Sports that are going to be going with us.
Nice.
Yeah, Chris Rowland, who's a great knife maker, will be going. And I believe I apologize, guys. I can't remember the lead guy's name. Big guy.
Hoss. I call him Hoss. But yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Will be going with us, and then we'll get the rest of the list, and they're going to videotape this, and we'll post it. So I'm pretty stoked about getting out there and getting us some pig. So that'll be interesting.
That'll be a lot of fun. My dad's going to be down there with us, and I thought about trying to convince him, but there's no way. He would never do it.
as much as I'd like your dad to go, I would be worried. Actually, your dad's in remarkably good shape. He helps at the events,
he
and he always
it.
Comes down there. And, yeah, I shouldn't doubt he'd probably go out there and wrestle the damn thing. But, yeah.
I mean, that man can still outwork me. You're talking about Donovan Phillips.
Yes.
That's Hoss, Donovan. Yeah, Big D Knives is a Big D, so that's what he goes by.
Yeah, and this guy makes Colorado look like he's –
Tiny Tim. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty impressive. So I think it'll be a good time, and it'll be some interesting video that we'll get posted up. All right. Well, listen, we have a commercial break that we have to take, and when we come back, we will be live with either Kim or Jim Heath. I know they're at a shoot right now. And they are the coordinators for Colorado Appleseed, but they're also our contacts with the company, and they will be doing Arlington, Texas event. So they'll be giving us all the information of what we're doing in Arlington, Texas. And with them will be Michael Adams, which is also known as Scout. And he we'll be talking to him after we talk with Jim and Kim about his radio show and some of the things he does to promote Project Appleseed. So let's go ahead and take our commercial break. And when we come back, we'll be live with Kim and Jim.
You're listening to the Preparedness Radio Network. We'll be back after a word from our sponsor.
It's the 21st century, a dangerous world. Preppers need food and medicine. Why not have the best?
Enterfood.com does the shopping, prep, and packaging for you using the best organic ingredients on the planet. Right now, specials are available for listeners of this station. The all-organic vegetarian food storage pail and the herbal medicine cabinet. The pail holds up to 120 flavorful meals, super packed fresh to last up to 15 years, soaked, cooked, or raw. The herbal medicine cabinet holds everything you'll need to cure common ailments. Use these items in an emergency or use them when camping. You can't beat these prices. Call to order now. 866-762-9238. 866-762-9238. Or go to Enerfood.com. That's E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. Enerfood.com.
Want to reduce your dependence on the electrical grid? Trying to save money on groceries? Preparing for a major power outage? We can help. Layman's is your source for everything you need for heat, food, light, and water when there is no power. Glenda Lehman Irvin here for Layman's in Kidron, Ohio. My father, Jay Lehman, founded our store in 1955 to serve the local Amish with non-electric appliances, tools, and houseware items. Today, through our website, laymans.com, a print catalog, and a retail store, we provide oil lamps, water pumps, wood stoves, canning supplies, and hand tools to customers all over the world. If you think it isn't made anymore, check with Lehman's before you give up. Visit laymans.com or call us at 1-877-438-5346 for a free catalog, or just stop by. We're located about an hour south of Cleveland.
Discover the taste of the sun. Thousands of preppers have acquired a sun oven to have on hand in the event of an emergency and have been pleasantly surprised by the improved taste of sun-cooked foods. Sun ovens are a preparedness item you can start using today. A sun oven will pay for itself by reducing your utility bills and by keeping your house cooler in the summer. Food can be baked, boiled, or steamed at temperatures of 360 to 400 degrees Fahrenheit with the power of the sun. Sun ovens are often confused with homemade solar cookers, but they get considerably hotter, cook food faster, and hold temperatures longer. Sun ovens fold up in seconds, carry like a suitcase, and have many innovative features which make them the ultimate solar appliance. For the past 25 years, sun ovens have been proudly made in the U.S. They are durable and have a long life and come with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. For a discount coupon, email preppers at sunoven.com. That's preppers at sunoven.com.
Thanks for listening to a word from our sponsors. Now, back to the show on the Preparedness Radio Network.
Hey, 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 you're back with Back with Tone Magazine, Self-Reliance Exposed. It's Colorado Ron and Bubba DaVinci. All right, I have to make an admission here, Colorado.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, well, it's not a big one. People are expecting us to bring on Jim and Kim Heath and Mike Adams, who is a scout from Rifleman Radio Show. And I was looking at my clock incorrectly, and they aren't on for another 15 minutes, so they got to listen to us.
Well, hey, I got a question for you then, since we got a few minutes. How did your turtle thing work out?
Oh, my
your
God.
I knew if you didn't mention it, it didn't go well.
Well, okay. So for those of you who have been following on Facebook, you know, and I completely blame Jason Akers on this. No, I'm just kidding. Jason, sorry. We were supposed to have Jason Akers on, I believe it was last week. He has an article in the Current magazine that talks about snapping turtles. And, you know, up in Iowa, there is no lack of snapping turtles in all our ponds and lakes and things like that. And I thought, okay, this is one that I can do with my girls, is we'd go out there and we'd lay lines and catch snapping turtles and follow the process and do this whole thing. So we've been posting up on Facebook. Yeah, we went out the first night, put out hooks, got nothing. So went out the next night, threw out hooks, got one. Good size 20-pound snapping turtle. Yeah, it was a good size.
Nice.
Yeah, beautiful. And so one part of the process is you take them and you throw them in a big bucket or wherever you're going to keep them, and then you pump fresh water inside there. And every day you dump it out and put more fresh water in there. You do that for 3 to 5 days. And the reason why is there's so much impurities. I mean, and I was surprised. Every morning I'd get up, and it looked like a swamp. They're pooping out all that stuff that they're eating and drinking in and everything else. And so you couldn't even see them in the water. It was just foul. And so what doing is you're washing out all those impurities, kind of like you can do with shrimp and things like that. And so that was going well. And then two nights later, we caught another one, probably about anywhere from 20 to 25 pounds. It was a little bit bigger than the other one. And we put it in a second bucket to start the process again. And I was hoping to get three because we had found three methods for dispatching the turtle and three methods for skinning the turtles. And so we were going to photograph and tape both, or all three.
Oh, man.
So we were going to kill all three turtles three different ways, and we were going to skin them three different ways. And so we caught the second turtle, tossed it in the bucket, filled it with fresh water, and went inside the house. So about a half hour later, my three daughters come in, and they're like, "Dad," said Yan, they go, "what did you do with the turtle?" Kind of giving hands on hips and giving me the look. And I'm like, "What?" And they said, "The turtle's not there. What did you do with the turtle, the new one?" And I was like, my girl's like pulling pranks on me. And I'm like, "Oh, sure, the turtle's not there." They go, "Come look." So I'm thinking they hit it or they put a bonnet on it. Who knew what they did? But, you know, they had done something with the turtle. So I walk outside and we look inside the bucket. Now, this bucket is, you know, I don't know. It's one of those 32-gallon storage containers that you have. You know, that you use to put your Christmas ornaments or whatever else in. So the size of those things are like almost 2 feet tall. You know what I'm talking about? Those big blue totes?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Plastic totes. So the first turtle didn't get out. So we walk out there and the bucket, the tote is completely empty. There is no turtle. We spend the next hour looking for the turtle and could not find him anywhere. Under vehicles and bushes. This was a disappearing turtle. I named him Michelangelo from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles because he obviously did some sort of ninja thing because he didn't knock the bucket over because the buckets were pinned against a wall with a 50-pound bag of potting soil so they wouldn't tip over. And so he somehow climbed out or jumped out of the damn bucket. The first one didn't do it, but the second one did. So we're down to one turtle. So I kept fishing and kept hoping. 3 days went by, 5 days went by. I have this one turtle. And, you know, with all the stuff we've been doing with the work, it got blown off. And we finally decided to do the turtle yesterday, which was almost 8 days. It was 8 days after we'd caught him. So, the recommendation was 3 to 4. I mean, yeah, 3 to 4. And we waited 8. Now, we finally said, okay, we're not going to catch any more turtles right now. I don't have time. Dad, you just got to get this done. So we said, okay. So we went out and we took the turtle out and we followed one of the methods. I'm going to call it the womp method. And what you do is you take a board and you release them on the ground and you smack them in the head and it stuns them. And then you pull the head out and you cut off the head because for people who don't know, a snapping turtle, the head will continue to bite and snap things for at least almost up to a day after you've cut off its head.
Oh, dang. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So by stunning them, they don't continue to bite, and hopefully you won't have any issues. So cut off the head, go on there, follow the process. We're videotaping this. So I'm cutting into the shell. I'm opening it up. And when I open it up, and now I know why they say 3 to 4 days. When you fish for a snapping turtle, you could either net them, which is one way, and they probably wouldn't have this issue. But the second way is you do is a number one to number three hook, put it on trout line, bait it, throw it out there, and they swallow it. And so the hook's down its gullet, and you got them, and then so you can pull them up. And when you're pulling them up, you got to pull them up slow so you don't rip open the guts. Well, apparently the hook, from being in there so long and from pulling him up, had torn into his insides a little bit.
3 to 5 days it wouldn't have been a big deal. But when I cut open that breastplate, it was rancid. It had spoiled inside and gas had filled up inside. Now, he's been alive this entire time. So he was alive. He was alive when we took him out there, but the poor guy was suffering and dying because his insides were rotting from the inside from the hook who had ripped inside his stomach. So when I cut it open and got in there, the air pocket just burst.
Oh!
And the smell just came out, and the guts started coming out the side, and I got sprayed with this white liquid. And on top of that, my daughter caught it on video with when all that gas came out, the air pressure pushed all the urine out the back end all over my shirt and shorts.
Oh!
Oh, my God. Talking about... It was the most disgusting thing, and my nephew was there, and he's like, oh, look at that smell. I'm trying to be all brave on camera. Oh, that smell's not bad, blah, blah, blah. You know, inside I'm going, oh, my God, this is rancid. And we proceeded to go ahead because I wasn't going to waste the videotape time, so I cut off the feet. I continued to skin it and parse out the meat, although all the meat was green from it being spoiled. I didn't want, you know, I just said, keep filming. So we kept doing it. And then at a certain point, I'm like, okay, cut. We're going to have to do this again. And we're going to have to, now I know 3 days is the most you can clean them out. You can't let them sit there for 7 days if they've got a hook in them. It was horrible. And my daughter smiled and went through the whole thing. My middle daughter, Gabrielle, cut off its head. She was the one that dispatched the head. And my, you know, other daughters helped out through the whole process. All of them, you know, feeling nauseous from the smell. But on camera it looked good, I'm sure. So anyway, that's the fiasco of a dealing with our snapping turtle. I'll tell you what though, catching them is fun. We're going to try it again after the show, after we do this expo and follow these other procedures and make the turtles stew. But this is how you learn, right? You learn by, by making mistakes, and, you know, I wouldn't have known, you know, and if Jason Akers had been on there, he might have said, well, you want to make sure you do it in 2 days, and here's what you do, and blah, blah, blah. You know, I didn't get a chance to ask him those questions. So the first mistake I learned is do not keep the turtles for more than 3 or 4 days, because those guys, those hooks in those stomachs do a whole lot of damage. So,
disgusting.
And now I've got a blooper reel. So,
oh yeah, I bet you do.
Bubba Da Vinci getting peed on. And to this day, we still don't know where Michelangelo is.
He's gone.
Yeah, he's definitely. I can't believe they can disappear that quickly. I mean, 20-pound turtle. I mean, we've got a big yard and there's like houses around us and things like that. I'm just like, how does a 20-pound turtle disappear? And it's amazing. So yeah, that's. I think I'll stick the chickens in the chicken coops.
Oh my goodness. Well, hey, I got another question then for you.
Sure.
I've been going back and forth on this and I can't decide, but you know, you're the one that introduced me to pickled quail eggs, and I love pickled quail eggs. And now I'm thinking that maybe instead of chickens, that I'd raise quail. What do you think about that?
Well, I used to do a lot of hunting of quail, and I love quail meat. Although there's not a lot on there, and I hate picking off the shot out of the meat, but you know, it's tasty meat. So raising them for meat, I think, would be awesome. Although you have to have quite a few to make a good meal. And I agree with you. I mean, the quail eggs, Colorado Ron's talking about, there's a Texas company that I like that makes jalapeno pickled quail eggs and standard quail eggs. And man, we go through entire jars of them when we get together. Matter of fact, since we're going to Texas, we'll pick up some.
Yes.
And man, that's about the only way that you can do quail eggs.
cracking them and eating them, or, you know, you have to have too many to make a meal. But
right.
when you pickle them, it's awesome. I would say that if you're going to do it, you need to talk with Jackie Clay and see if she's got a good recipe for pickling little eggs. Because I'm sure the mixture would have to be a little bit different because of the size of the egg. It's a full size egg's got so much white and everything else when you do it. You can have them in there for a long time and not have them get mushy. And I'm not sure what the recipe is the guys use out there in Texas, but I think it's a good idea. I was talking with Mark Smith the other night, and he was talking about people who do different things are more likely to do well if something were to happen because you have variety. And so I'm sure there's probably 1,000 people in your area that are probably raising chickens in their backyard, but I doubt there's anybody that's raising quail. And
that's
so
that'll add
variety to your goods that you have to trade with other people and probably increase the value because you have something that's completely different. So I think it's a great idea, just on that alone.
I think I'm going to give it a shot. I think why not? Be different.
I agree. Let's try to be different. Hey, it looks like I'm not sure who it is, Kim or Tim or Kim or Jim. But let's go ahead and bring them on because I'm seeing that they're on a cell phone. And like I said, they are at a shoot. And so their reception is probably going to be in and out. So let's get them while we have the chance. So let's bring on Kim or Jim or both, Keith, from Project Appleseed. You guys there?
Yeah.
This is Jim.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I hear you, and it sounds like Kim's on too.
I'm here.
Hey, we got them both. How you guys doing
today?
How
about that? We're doing real well. We're out here at River's Edge Gun Club. There's a plug. Down in Pueblo doing a shoot. And once again, I get to look at Pike's Peak way off in the distance, so it's a great day.
Awesome. Is Scout on as well? Okay, apparently not. So, hey, guys, so we're going to be seeing you guys in a week, and we made it Appleseed Day, so we wanted to kind of find out. Let's start off with who you guys are and what you guys do in Colorado.
Sure. I am, along with my wife, Kim, we're the state coordinators for Appleseed, which means we try and keep things running smoothly. Kim does most of that work. She's the paperwork person. And I'm a shoot boss in Appleseed. Kim's an instructor. And we spend most of our weekends doing Appleseed shoots or events like the expo coming up next week. Kim spends a lot of time during the week just keeping the paperwork in line so that we have all the insurance in place and instructors at shoots and those kind of things.
You guys actually have to have insurance?
Yeah, it's kind of a curious thing that the people at the range seem to appreciate having insurance.
Well, hey, I got a quick question for you. I'm sure you guys heard about what happened in Aurora, and
yep.
I was curious. When something like that happens, do you guys see any kind of influx up or down in your classes?
Don't know.
That's pretty soon.
Yeah.
To see a result already.
I don't have any feel at all for that, Ron, whether there's any difference at all.
Does it become a topic of conversation at the event? I mean, are people talking about it and you know, sharing their concerns or, you know, since these people are and the reason I'm asking is, you know, the press has, you know, it's completely starts villainizing anybody that shoots and things like that. And so we're just kind of curious how it affects people's thought processes and everything else.
Sure. We have this shoot we just started. We've only been back to, they're probably firing their first shots now. So we've done our safety rules and introduction and those kind of things. I've not heard anybody mention it. And we've got about 25 people here. And among the instructors that I've heard anyway, I've not heard any instructors mention it. I've not heard any students mention it. I don't have a. Maybe I'm sure they've thought about it, but it's not come up as a conversation.
Well, I guess that's good, you know, because when you're out there for a shoot, you want them concentrating on the lessons and not necessarily worried about things like that.
Yeah. I hope that most people realize that, you know, it's not the gun that did this. You know, we could look at, we could maybe get rid of guns. But we could, another thing we could do is we could make it so there couldn't be more than 8 people in a group at any one time. Or we could make it so that somebody had oversay of what was on the movie. So only certain things could be shown. Well, those two things that I just mentioned sound pretty ridiculous. Those are the First Amendments, and we're guaranteed those to be able to do those things by the First Amendment. But secondly, that the firearms are covered by the Second Amendment. And so there's all kinds of ways that, you know, this could be dealt with, and some may be reasonable, some aren't, but it would make just as much sense to say, no, we can't have more than however many people you're willing to lose at one time. You can't have more than 6 people in a group because it's not safe. So that's my take on it.
No, I think that makes sense. Well, let's go on to more pleasant topics. So you're doing a shoot in Pueblo today. What kind of shoot is it? You said how many people do you have at the shoot?
I think we have about 25 people shooting. So it's our regular weekend shoot where we do the bit of rifle marksmanship instruction. I think we do the best fundamental rifle marksmanship instruction of any organization in the world, except maybe a couple of militaries. And one of the reasons I can say that is because most places in the world you can't even own firearms, let alone shoot them. So that narrows it down quite a bit. But still, we do the best job that we know how. After doing this for the organization has been doing this for 6 years, the best job of rifle marksmanship instruction that we can do. Also, throughout the day, we'll be telling stories of April 19th, 1775, and why that date's important. Just to give you a clue, we say that's the first day of our country, when the colonists finally had enough of the king. The king was taking rights away. He wasn't imposing anything particularly new on the colonists, but the king was taking away the rights that they were guaranteed by law. And at some point on April 19, 1775, the colonists said, you've gone too far. We have to stop this. And so that was the reason the fighting started. It was not colonists saying, you know, we want more rights than we have. We want to do things differently than we've ever done. What they were trying to do is maintain their way of life, and the king was trying to change that. And so that's why that came about. And so we'll do some instruction on back to marksmanship. We're really big on using a sling, a GI web sling, to stabilize the rifle. Most people use a sling just to carry the rifle, but it was an original intent was to make you shoot better, allow you to shoot better with the so the rifle doesn't wobble around so much. We teach different positions. We teach prone position, sitting position, standing position. Not to the point of, you know, doing competitive shooting, but if any type of shooting, those positions can be useful if you're hunting or if you're doing who knows what, whatever it is that you choose to do with this information. The three positions that we show, we also show kneeling, are, we think, important. We teach you how to adjust the scope. We teach you, all kinds of things, how to look through your sights, how to breathe, how to pull a trigger. There's what we call the 6 steps of firing a shot. So that's roughly what we do, and then we'll tell stories again, like I said, throughout the day of the Revolutionary War, the first day of our country, April 19, 1775, in case you didn't catch that. And that's what we do, spend a whole weekend doing those two things. And it's a very tiring weekend, but it's a great experience.
Yeah, that's very cool. The question I had for you was...
I didn't answer the right question, huh?
No. Yeah, oh, you did. I had a question.
Yeah, okay.
This is Colorado Ron, okay. So this is a different question. But the one of the questions I'm very curious on was the fact that you seem to cover so much stuff at these events. I mean, it seems like this thing could go on for a week. How do you manage to get all this stuff done in 2 days?
Well, it is tough. We have what we would call a course of fire, so the things that we teach throughout the weekend, and it depends on the group. A lot of times we have a whole line of new shooters who will bring never touched a firearm before, never touched a rifle, and they went to the store and they bring their rifle and they take it out of the box at the shoot and they pull the plastic wrapper off it. And they don't know, and that's wonderful. We love those students, but they don't know where the muzzle is. They don't know what we mean by what's a magazine, those kind of things. And so sometimes we have to go a little bit slower. Sometimes we can go a little bit faster. But it's very difficult to cover all the things that we think are essential for shooting. As far as marksmanship, our goal is that by the end of the weekend, we show the students everything that's required to hit a 20-inch target out to 500 yards and do that consistently under almost any condition. It doesn't mean that the students will be able to do that at the end of the weekend, but we will have shown them all the skills necessary. I've got
very
two
cool
horses walking up right here. Hi, guys. Yeah, I'm standing out in the field, and they just came up to see what I'm doing. I'm standing next to them.
Yeah, the buck doesn't hit your way.
Yeah, now they're going to camp.
What can people expect to see down in Arlington next weekend?
You want to do that, Kim?
They're going to see our booth with a firing line with 5 pellet rifles.
Can you hear
Kim?
We'll
let anyone shoot.
Yeah, we can hear.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
We'll let anyone shoot who wants to shoot. You know, I think it was designed primarily for kids, but we have a lot of adults who get a real kick out of it, too. And, you know, and Scott, when you mentioned the pellet line, we never, ever believed how popular that would be because we've taken it to other venues like a Constitutional Champions Camp and a homeschool group, and it's the highlight of the whole time that they're there. And so that pellet line was brilliant.
I come up with the occasional good idea.
And then we're there to talk to people and tell them what Appleseed is about and about our goals of trying to change this nation, save this nation. And then we get some stage time, and we'll be talking about April 19th, 1775, the truth about Paul Revere's ride, about the day our nation was born, what happened in Lexington, Concord, and Marion's Corner. So that's what we're going to do down there in Arlington.
So very interesting. This was not done on purpose. But we have another group out there called the 57th Patriot. Did you meet them at the last event?
I heard about them, and I looked them up online when I got home at Colorado Springs.
And they
were actually at the Constitutional Champions Camp, too, with us.
Oh,
we heard they were there, and they had all the kids got to sign the Declaration.
Yeah, it's a very cool concept, but they basically talk about the Declaration of Independence, and you know, in their question that they do is, you know, if you were there, would you have been the 57th person to sign the 57th Patriot to sign the Constitution?
Right.
And kind of going through what the Constitution stands for and everything else. And you guys are back to back, and so it's going to be a very interesting. Very interesting constitutional day. Paul Revere and the Constitution. I'm feeling all patriotic. I can hear I can hear music in the background and see flags fluttering and things like that. So.
Well, we will.
That's
no,
wonderful.
Like there.
The more people there are talking about it and getting other people interested, the better for our country. So that's wonderful.
Now, you guys have improved every event. So we started almost a year ago. Working with you guys, and I think you guys have done 5 events with us now. I think that's right? This is the 5th event with you guys?
This is the 5th.
5th, yeah.
And every single event, you guys, it becomes better and better, and, you know, you guys, you know, put out more effort and things like that. Are there any new twists to anybody that, like, came to the anybody that was at the Mesquite event, that they'll see something different at this event?
What would you like to see?
it wasn't a trick question. I mean, I think at the Mesquite event, Kim in costume. And so I was
look
at that. And so I wasn't sure if there was going to be another treat.
It's really hard to get guys to dress up like that.
earlier in the segment, I was trying to get a little out of Ron.
But today at this shoot, we have a whole family in Revolutionary War costume.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
It is very cool.
So, Kim, do you think we can get you when are you guys coming into town?
We are hoping to get there Thursday afternoon.
Thursday afternoon. We might have to have you come over to Cowboy Stadium and have you come over to our booth in Cowboy Stadium with all the Glenn Beck people and have you guys hand out some of your literature over there in our booth.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
I
think...
That would be wonderful.
I think people... We're allowed to do whatever we want over there in that booth. So, I mean, we should definitely talk about that, because I think Kim is a very beautiful woman already, but she's eye-catching in that costume. And so...
I think
people would stop and go, oh, what's this? And come over and check it out, and then maybe you can get them to come over and visit your booth over at the shoot. The shooting booth over at the convention center.
Well, Scott, I think that's your second brilliant idea.
If you get there on Wednesday, you can be there all day on Thursday with us and hanging out with us over there. But if you can't, no big deal. So let me ask another question. I'll direct this towards Jim. Jim, I was surprised at this. What do you think the major demographic is when you the people that want to participate at your at the expo shoots or expo class? I don't know what I hate to call them shoots because they're really not a shoot. What should we call them? Expo training sessions, I guess.
Hello, I'm kind of losing you. Let me move around a little bit.
Yeah, the trick is stand on one foot and lift your arm high in the air. That's how it works with me on my cell phone.
That's almost it. All right, I'm sorry, I missed your question. I'm hearing you now, though.
Okay, I was saying, I was always surprised. I was surprised, but let's tell the audience what is the demographic of the people who come not only come to the expos and participate in the pellet shooting, but that come out to your events in general.
Okay, well, let me start with the expos. Our design, when we first were talking about it with you, was we would do this with kids. I don't know on this expo, but in the past, you've kind of given a discount for folks who were coming to the Appleseed, with the kids who could come to shoot with us. And we thought, oh, yeah, a bunch of kids shooting pellet guns, that'll be great. Well, it ends up that the kid wants to shoot, and we're standing there talking with the mom, and the mom is, yeah, I've never shot before. Well, now's your chance. And so then we get the mom and the kids down there shooting together. And then the dad says, well, that's great that they're doing that. And it's, well, why don't you go shoot with them? And so we can get whole families on the line shooting pellet guns together, just having a great time. We've gotten people who have physical limitations, so they have to stay in a wheelchair. We've had those people shoot. We've had people who kids probably as young as 3 or 4 years old shooting with us. We've had, I would guess, women in their 70s or 80s have shot with us. So it ends up that anybody who wants to shoot, anybody who is at the expo is part of our demographic.
What I was trying to – go ahead. I'm sorry, Jim.
I was going to say I was a little surprised at that, how we were able to not – it's a great draw for kids. And we'll kick old folks out of line so the kids can shoot. But it's surprising how many people get excited about shooting pellet guns. It's a great thing.
And listening to your stories, and the reason I brought this up, I was going through looking at a bunch of old emails right now, And you had sent one out right after the last event in Mesquite, Texas, talking about how, you know, it kind of broke some ground for you guys. And, you know, you had, you know, you talked about how you had a whole family, just what you said, a whole family in line. It looked like it was Kim that wrote this. And it was very, very touching because you were talking about, you know, we had a disabled person. And I was just kind of like, wow, who would have known a concept to give kids something to do would turn into such a touching and large spectrum project. I mean, because, like, you know, you had such a wide variety of people that we weren't expecting that would even do it, and that's a great thing. That's a great thing.
I remembered another one at the Colorado Springs Expo. There was a young girl that was, I will guess she's 5, and my son was helping us. He's 20 years old. He doesn't do too much with Appleseed, but we were short of folks, and so he had come and was helping us. And so he helped this girl shoot, and she got all 5 of her pellets onto the paper, and she was pretty excited about it. But what impressed my son is her dad, who is a Marine. My son said he had the biggest smile he had ever seen on anybody because his daughter had been able to shoot pellet guns. And so it affected the girl, who had a great time. The dad was just thrilled that she was able to do that. And it even affected my son that he was able to help people have a good time.
That's fantastic. Now, I want to point something out. You know, this we talked about it earlier with Carol. But this is a completely volunteer project. I mean, you and Kim volunteer your time to do this. And, you know, I'm proud to know both of you guys because, you know, here are two people that have to run a business and everything else and volunteer their time to be state coordinators already. And then you're driving all the way to Texas for a second time this year to do another event with us. And first of all, I want to say I appreciate both of you guys doing this. But I guess the big question is, it's like, what motivates someone, specifically you two, to go ahead and put in some, you know, time to go ahead and drive all the way someplace like Texas to do something like this?
Well, as you can probably tell, we absolutely love this country, love what it stood for in its beginnings. And this was a way that we could help to try to save this country, to make people aware of the sacrifices that were made to give us the freedoms that we have today. People died and had their houses burned, lost their entire families, just giving us freedoms and a representative government and the right to vote. And so this is an organization where we can tell those stories, try to reconnect people with the heritage, inspire them, touch their hearts, and get them involved in the political process somehow and make it a representative government again. Because we think our country could go in a much better direction, and we never say what that is. We never discuss current politics, but just get anyone and everyone involved. And we want Appleseed to be an everyday word in everyone's vocabulary, that they know who we are and what we're about, and they are involved.
Well, that's great. And we really, really, really appreciate you guys participating and taking the time out to do this. So open invitation, Kim and Jim, if you guys can make it down anytime Thursday, we'll be over at Cowboy Stadium all day on Thursday, meeting and greeting all the people. Because for those of you guys who don't know, Friday is a day of service for Glenn Beck's Restoring Love, which means Thursday people will be signing up to do some sort of charity somewhere in the Arlington or greater DFW area, Dallas-Fort Worth. Includes things like river cleanup and Habitat for Humanity and things like that. So hopefully 50,000 to 70,000 people going through registering for charity on Thursday, and Friday they'll be doing their day of service. So if we could do anything, Kim and Jim, to help spread the word of Appleseed before the event starts, you're more than welcome to come over, and let's try to get those 70,000 people to participate.
Well, that would be amazing. Might have to look at leaving early. Leave it on Tuesday instead of Wednesday.
Well, you both have my cell number, so we'll go ahead and do it. Is there anything else you guys want to cover about the shoot or participation? Is there an age limit? I think we kind of covered it, but let's officially get it out there. Is there any age limit for doing the shooting the pelicans at the event?
No, there's not. We've had kids who the rifles were much taller than they were, and we just get down with them. And if they want to do it and they can keep their safety glasses on, we're good. And we even have kids' safety glasses so that everybody, because we don't want to put any eyes out. We don't want to have a movie made about us or anything like that. But thank you. Thank you for that laugh. So, we've had people barely walking and kids shooting the pellet guns. And on the other end of the scale, barely walking and older people shooting our pellet guns. So, no, there's no age limit at all. It's just people who want to come have fun and maybe try something different.
Do they need to bring anything?
They do not have to bring a thing. We supply, I hope they're wearing clothes or something, but we supply everything as far as shooting. Glasses, we have the pellets, we have the pellet guns, we have mats for them to lay on so they're not in the dirt or in the concrete. So we absolutely have everything for them. We supply the targets and we let them bring them home with them. We hope they bring them home and put them up on the wall and they can remember shooting pellet guns and they can say, hey, Dad, remember when we shot pellet guns? Or Mom, remember when we did this together? And look up and say, oh, yeah, it was Appleseed. Maybe we should look into that. Or whatever. I'm just making that up. But it's completely on the tails of your question. We supply everything that's needed for them.
All right. I just had two more brilliant ideas that I want to throw out there real quick before we get ready to go.
Okay.
So number one.
Ideas are always work. work.
I
but
know.
Bring it on.
I do a lot of it too. So number one, this is a job for Colorado. Hey, Colorado, we need to call the Mercury One and see if when Stu comes over and does his meet and greet, if we can get him to go over there and lay down and do and shoot over at Appleseed.
Yeah, I think we could do that.
Yeah. So Stu is Glenn Beck's right hand guy. You know, he's the Abbott to his Costello or whatever. He's the
foil.
Exactly. And Colorado Ron was joking around. He goes, I was trying to find a picture of him, and every picture I have, he's like shoving hot dogs down his throat or, doing this or doing that. He's the guy that, Glenn Beck doesn't do any of that. He goes, okay, Stu, you do it. So we'll go ahead and I think that would be great if we could get him to shoot. But the big thing was, we're doing a meet and greet on Saturday morning. Jack Spearco is putting it together. I think everybody comes in at 8:30 in the morning, and he's got like 60 people or so, I think, signed up for this thing. And we've got kind of the who's who of the prepping world that are all coming in to do part of the meet and greet. Jackie Clay, Southern Prepper One, Jack Spearco. I'm forgetting some people, but a huge group of them. We should have the meet and greet people come over there and do a fun shoot off over in the Appleseed area with all the preppers in front of the live group, the meet and greet people before the show opens, and get photos of that.
We could come up with good prizes to encourage them to do that too.
It's
going to be a competition.
Yeah. Well, here's the funny thing is, I'm just curious because this is just a quick fun story. At the very first Appleseed that we did with I think it was the first one with Kim and Jim, we had one of our Laura Baker, who's our head of marketing, young, pretty girl, 24 years old, who had never touched a gun in her life, and we encouraged her, Kim and Jim encouraged her to sit down and try and go through the method and kind of doing stuff. And I said at the end, I didn't need any practice. I would shoot against her. And I think, was it Tanner? I don't remember who else I was shooting against.
Yeah,
and Tanner is how old?
Tanner's five.
Yeah. And, you know, I would shoot against these two at the end of it. Now, I've hunted. I've been in the military, got my expert qualifications, done the whole thing. And we sit down at the end of the show, and we lay down on the mats, and I got whomped by both of them who had been trained during Appleseed during the day. And I'm not talking about whomped, you know, just a little bit. I'm talking about Laura had all hers, you know, in a very nice, tight group in the center of it. I hit the target every time, but I was all over the place, and it was horrible. So I'm hoping that the rest of the preppers are as overconfident as I am, and will kind of prove a point that, A, that no matter how much you think you know or how long you've been doing it, you can always learn a little bit more and become better at it. And number two, that Bubba Da Vinci is only not the only bad shot in prepper.
Or it could be a bad day for you, and you're the only bad shot out there.
Kind of along those lines, getting back to our weekend shoots, if I can do that for a second.
Please.
Is we do have, I talked about our new shooters and how they, you know, we get people who've never handled a firearm or rifle before. But the other side of it, I mean, like I say, I'll plug Brad's range again, River's Edge out in Pueblo, Avondale. And he's been doing competitive shooting for, he said, 40 years. He runs his own range. He teaches lots and lots of classes. This is our second Appleseed at this range. Well, the first one, Brad told me, well, I might see what you're doing and hang out a little bit. Well, it ends up he spent the entire weekend with us and ended up shooting what we would call a rifleman score, did well, and he was so excited about Appleseed because he learned more in this class than he had learned in a long, long time. And he was able to, we could, on his targets, we could see the improvement every time he was shot. And he knew what he was doing, but he was willing to listen, try a couple of things our way. It's not, I understand it's not the only way, but the way we teach it. And he was able to improve his shooting. And he said, can I use some of these techniques in the classes I teach? And absolutely. We stole them from the military. You can steal them from us. That's not an issue. We've done another one of the fellow who's running the shoot right now, Stephen. Papa Smith is his name. He came to a shoot, and he scored pretty well, but he didn't quite hit our rifleman score. So he came back to another shoot, and he scored pretty well, but he didn't quite do a rifleman score. And he came back to a third shoot and finally scored the score. The rifleman score is what all of our instructors have to do in order to be instructors. It's doable, and anybody can do it, but sometimes it takes practice. Well, it took Stephen three different weekends in order to shoot the rifleman score. There's a car going by, so I'll let it go by.
That's okay.
There we go. Anyway, so the interesting thing about Stephen is he's a special ops soldier out of Fort Carson, and he shoots for a living. But because he is willing to listen, and I know he has lots of skills we don't ever talk about. We don't even come close to some of his skills. But in the fundamental rifle marksmanship, he was able to learn and improve his shooting. So we try to be everything to everyone. And it doesn't always work, but that's really our goal. If people are willing to listen to what we have, like Scott, if you would listen to us, we could help you improve your shooting.
Well, see, and therein lies the problem, because my wife swears up and down I don't listen to anything anybody says, especially her. So, you know, maybe if I could learn to turn that off and listen, I'd probably do better, including in my household. So I think
you need to take your families to a shoot.
Yeah, you know,
you guys are splashers.
Yeah, we signed up for a shoot in Winterset around here about 2 months ago, and then it got canceled because we had the tornado go through, and when the tornado went through, they posted that because of all the issues, you know, that they were going to cancel because there was a lot of things that were going on and repairs and all this other stuff, and so unfortunately we've been so busy I haven't had a chance to sign up for another one. But I gotta stop making excuses and go ahead and get it done, especially if I'm the one with the worst score, you know, this coming Saturday. That'll definitely prove it.
Maybe at Arlington, you can take 5 minutes and we can, on the fly, work with you a little bit.
No, I don't want an unfair advantage. So that doesn't work that way. All right, guys. Well, I know that you're out in the range, and so we'll let you go. So we're looking forward to seeing you next Thursday at the Arlington event. Yeah, and if you can, you guys get there early and you can join us at Cowboy Stadium, give me a call, and we'll welcome you guys with open arms.
Wonderful.
All right,
thank you, Scott.
We're looking
forward
to it.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Travel safe. Travel safe, guys.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
You too.
All right, guys. What we're going to do is we're going to take our last break for the show, and then when we come back, we'll see if we haven't gotten a hold of Michael Adams Scout yet. But if he comes on, we'll go ahead and bring him on. If not, we'll go ahead and talk the last little bit about what's going on at the show, and then I'll get packing, and Colorado will get rabbit setting up. I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll talk to you guys in a few minutes. Let's go to commercial.
You're listening to the Preparedness Radio Network. We'll be back after a word from our sponsor. Looking for power grid independence? The Humless Solar Kit is the answer. Increasing brownouts in the U.S. suggest it's time to get a backup. The problem is gas generators are messy, require maintenance, and gas! Which may be scarce in a real emergency. Get the Humless Solar Kit by itself or with a 1,000-watt Humless Sentinel generator. The kit includes a 100-watt solar panel, 20-foot extension cord, LED floodlight, rechargeable flashlights, and more. Become a fan at Humless.com or on Facebook.
Want to reduce your dependence on the electrical grid? Trying to save money on groceries? Preparing for a major power outage? We can help. Layman's is your source for everything you need for heat, food, light, and water when there is no power. Glenda Lehman Irvin here for Layman's in Kidron, Ohio. My father, Jay Lehman, founded our store in 1955 to serve the local Amish with non-electric appliances, tools, and houseware items. Today, through our website, laymans.com, a print catalog, and a retail store, we provide oil lamps, water pumps, wood stoves, canning supplies, and hand tools to customers all over the world. If you think it isn't made anymore, check with Lehman's before you give up. Visit laymans.com or call us at 1-877-438-5346 for a free catalog, or just stop by. We're located about an hour south of Cleveland.
Discover the taste of the Sun. Thousands of preppers have acquired a Sun oven to have on hand in the event of an emergency and have been pleasantly surprised by the improved taste of Sun-cooked foods. Sun ovens are a preparedness item you can start using today. A Sun oven will pay for itself by reducing your utility bills and by keeping your house cooler in the summer. Food can be baked, boiled, or steamed at temperatures of 360 to 400 degrees Fahrenheit with the power of the Sun. Sun ovens are often confused with homemade solar cookers, but they get considerably hotter, cook food faster, and hold temperatures longer. Sun ovens fold up in seconds, carry like a suitcase, and have many innovative features which make them the ultimate solar appliance. For the past 25 years, Sun ovens have been proudly made in the U.S. They are durable and have a long life and come with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. For a discount coupon, email preppers@sunoven.com. That's preppers@sunoven.com.
Thanks for listening to A Word from Our Sponsor. Now, back to the show on the Preparedness Radio Network.
Hey, you're back with Backwoods Home Magazine, Self-Reliance Exposed. Dun, dun, dun. Just kidding. And we've got Colorado Ron and Bubba Da Vinci. You there, Colorado?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, man, I'm just getting loopy. I'm telling you, I think we're leaving at 4 o'clock tomorrow morning to start hauling this trailer.
Oh.
And I'm looking at the clock, and it's like 11:30. And I'm like, okay, I still need to get all this stuff done. And there's a birthday party I got to go to today, and then I got to hit the road at like 4 o'clock in the morning. And my mind just starts wheeling, and it's just kind of like, yeah, I think it's time to. I'm just going to go take a nap.
No, I'm just kidding. That's all right. All right, so we don't know where Scout is, so we'll go ahead and talk about some things that are going on with the show so we make sure everybody knows what's going on. And one of the first and foremost things that are that's going on is Colorado Ron scored us a really cool booth that's going to be in front of the Arlington Convention Center. Why don't you tell us about it, Colorado?
Yeah, it's Atlas Survival Shelters, and basically they're underground bunkers that they set up. And, you know, one of the things that is cool that I've always wanted to do is tour these things, you know. And most people either have them hidden in the mountains so they don't want anybody to know about them, or, you know, I've toured them and, you know, they're just basically an empty shell. And so I was talking with Ron over at Atlas Survival Shelters and was telling him, you know, my dilemma there. And he's designing and building a shelter specifically for us that has doors on both ends. So you can walk in one side, and it's fully equipped with couch, TV. You can sit down and watch TV. You know, the beds are all made up and actually see it how it should be and walk on through, and then you can walk out the other side. So we're going to be giving, you know, free tours of the Atlas shelter, you know, both days of the event.
And this is one of those shelters for, so this is an unconfirmed rumor, but the shelter is pretty cool. And I heard a rumor. No, I'm just trying to think about whether or not I should say it, but I heard a rumor that it's so cool. I mean, Cabela's is carrying it and everything else, that the owner, the CEO of this company, may actually get a sit-down dinner with Glenn Beck to talk about
this thing. Oh, cool.
Unofficial, unsubstantiated rumor. You know, just kind of like Colorado being showing up at Appleseed in a dress. Unsubstantiated rumor. Cannot confirm and will not deny, but I can't wait to see this thing. I think he said he was painting it bright yellow, so this thing's going to stick out like a sore thumb.
A yellow shelter, absolutely.
Yep. The only thing that's missing, and I, you know, realistically, when we get there on Monday, Colorado, we should call around and see if we can get one. We're going to have this giant bright yellow shelter out there, shelter next to it. We're going to have a fire engine red. Truck that has a giant windmill attached to it, or behind it on a trailer. That would look really cool if it was attached to the truck. But it's on the trailer so that we can see that. So these things are both eye-catching. What we're missing is the giant pink inflatable floating gorilla over both of them.
then there is
no way anybody that went by would not know that we were there.
That's right.
So another unsubstantiated rumor that, you know, Self-Reliance Expo will have a giant pink gorilla floating in the air. All right, so I've got another something that this is substantiated. I mean, this is official. I got the word this morning, and I was pretty excited to hear from it. So we interviewed Marjorie Wildcraft last weekend, and Marjorie Wildcraft is a well-known gardener / prepper, and she sold thousands and thousands and thousands of a DVD called Grow Your Own Groceries, and she was a fantastic guest last week. Would you agree, Colorado?
Absolutely. She was great.
Okay, so I get this email this morning saying she just got booked on Good Morning Texas for July 25th, which is Wednesday, and they're going to cover and they're going to plug our expo.
Awesome. I love it.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
That she's
going to plug and they're going to cover they're going to plug the expo that she's going to be participating at. You know, but, you know, someone that we interviewed and everything else is getting this sort of coverage. So it was an awesome email to get this morning. You know, last night, we had Mark Smith talk about, you know, his publisher is increasing
speeding up when he's going to release his book because of the response of our shows on PRN, and which was great to hear because we hit 1.25 million people downloads for our shows. And
nice.
And then we got Marjorie, who was just on last week, and then I get this email this morning saying, "Hey, great news! I just got booked for Good Morning Texas, and they're gonna for Wednesday, and they're gonna do a plug for the expo." And you know, holy crud! I mean, that's just awesome. So
yeah.
So that's great news. So we should let everybody know. We should do a rundown real quick on. Who's going to be speaking and what's going on at the expo. I think that's probably a good thing to do, to just get one last plug out there for these people before we head out.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's do the rundown. Do you have your sheet, or do you want me just to go?
Well, you've been coordinating them all. You know them a lot better than I do this time.
Okay. So let's start with Friday. We open our show hours on Friday are from noon to 8 p.m., and that's on the 27th. And, again, that's at Arlington Convention Center. We will be over at Cowboy Stadium with the Glenn Beck thing starting Wednesday. But here's what's going on our stage. Friday from 12:30 to 2:30, we will have the Men of Prepping, and that's Jack Spearco, Dr. Bones, which is Joe Alton, and Southern Prepper One, which is David SP1. They will be up on stage as a panel, talking about all kinds of topics for 2 hours on prepping. And then on the main stage from 2:30 to 3:30, we have Lucinda Bailey. A fantastic woman who will be talking about heirloom seeds and food independence. Then from 3:30 to 4:30 on the main stage, we have our good friend Jeff Yago, who is a international man of power. Now he's written some back-to-home magazine. He works for government setting up different sorts of things. He consults with all kinds of companies, and he is talking about prepper power and why a generator alone won't do it. A great topic, and we actually talked to him about that recently. And then after that, we have Ray Gano. He's he's an author. He's a radio host. He's an all-around good guy, and he's talking about surviving the coming storm, food, water, and medicine. And great book. He'll be there also in the PRN Bubba's Bookshelf booth with his book, if you haven't purchased it already. And then from 5:30 to 6:30, we will have Daniel Cordoba, and he will be talking about learn how your portfolio can be profitable and survive economic disaster. And with the economy being as bad as it is, I think this is an important thing to cover. And then we'll end the day at 6:30 to 7:30 with Ms. Jackie Clay. Becoming more self-reliant no matter where you live now. And Jackie is always a wonderful person to have at the events, useful information, and we're totally, totally, totally excited. Let's talk about on our secondary stage. So on a secondary stage from 14:30 to 15:30 on Friday, we will have a brief overview of the Declaration of Independence, and that's going to be done by the 57th Patriot Alliance. Now, if you come to a show and you get a chance to sit down and listen to this, this is really cool. The 57th Patriot Program talks about it. If the Declaration of Independence was being signed today, would you have been the 57th person to sign it? And what he will do is he will actually read off a lot of the Declaration of Independence. And at the end, we'll have a discussion on, do you think that these points are relevant today with today's government as they were in 1776 when it happened? So very interesting. We'll have Paul Munson on stage teaching you how to cook with the Sun Oven. And then we will have the real story of Paul Revere's ride by Appleseed. And then from 1730 to 1930, Doc Bones and Nurse Amy will be doing their two-hour suturing class there in that area. And so that's awesome. And then let's go ahead and do Saturday very quickly. Saturday, we will be, for those of you, if you go to our Facebook page and you go to events or go to Jack Spearco's site, you can sign up to go to the meet and greet. And we open, we're open from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Saturday. Now, if you sign up for the meet and greet, you will be eligible to come in and meet everybody. We'll open the doors. You can be there at 8 o'clock. We'll sell you your tickets, and you can be in at 8:30. And we have a meet and greet area set up, and you will have the chance to meet Jack Spearco, David SP1 Kobler, Marjorie Wildcraft, Jackie Clay, Mark Smith, Dr. Bones Nurse Amy, Karen Hood, Adam Francis. I mean, it really is the who's who of this community. So come and shake hands with them. And the most important people, Colorado Ron and Bubba Da Vinci. Because all the rest of them pale in comparison to it. Then at 9:30 on the main stage, you have Jack Spearco with his famous or infamous, whichever you'd like to call it, 12 Planks of Modern Survivalism. 10:30 to 11:30, we have Coach Carter of the movie fame, talking about facts on freshwater, herbal gardening, and education system in the urban environment. I'm looking forward to that one and to hear what this gentleman has to say. And then 11:30 to 12:30, we have Southern Prepper 1, SP1, talking about developing a retreat and forming a survival group. Very interesting. Then 12:30 to 1:30, Marjorie Wildcraft, Growing Your Own Groceries. 3:30 to 4:30, Doc Bones with Survival Medicine, When Help Is Not On The Way. 14:30 to 15, 2:30 to 3:30, Adventures in Canning with Jackie Clay. I came up with that title, by the way. Then 3:30 to 4:30, The Future of Money with Michael Wiener.
Oh, I'll be interested in that one for sure.
He covers a lot of really good things. I got a lot of good information from the last show. And then 16:30 to 17:30, Surviving the Most Critical 5 Seconds of Your Life with Tim Larkin. This is the man that is so dangerous he's been banned from the UK.
Oh, yeah.
And then 17 to 18:30, The Most Common Pitfalls in Prepping with Mark Smith. And I think that's a good one to go to. Mark is going to cover all the mistakes that Colorado Ron makes on a daily basis on the that you can make a mistake on that we've all already done, so you don't have to. And then on the secondary stage, 9:30 to 11:30 is another suturing class by Doc Bones and Nurse Amy. I think they're full, but you'd have to check on their website to see if there's any spaces left. 11:30 to 12:30, what happens to our food? What has happened to our food system? With Scott from Down to Earth Seeds, always a good one. And then 21st Century Construction with David B. South. And then after that, Emergency Preparedness with Essential Oils with our friend Jared Winger. Again, always a good one. And then we have a spotlight speaker from 14:30 to 16:30, which will be Karen Hood and Adam Francis talking about the advantage of primitive skills in a modern survival situation. And that's they're going to be bringing all kinds of goodies to show you guys, like bow fire starters and gear and all kinds of stuff, and talking about the basic skills that you should have, primitive skills that you should have before you go out and end up in a survival situation. And then we'll have the Saturday cooking with Sun Oven with Paul, and then we end that stage with simple and easy ways to use common herbs and items from your kitchen to take care of your daily health, which is usually the topic that Doc from – oh, man, I just blanked. Our friends at the health school.
Oh, Dr. Christopher, School of Natural Healing?
Thank you. The Dr. Christopher usually covers, but he has Doreen Spackman coming in and covering this for him. He double booked. So So anyway, that's it. I mean, it's kind of a – even our speaking schedule is kind of a who's who of preppers. I mean, I'm
– Now, when are we going to film these so we can actually learn something?
Yeah, I've had several people ask us that. And
I've had several emails requesting DVDs of the presentations.
I'm going to throw this out because Protractor is probably our most vocal person on our chat, and I'm going to throw it out in Twitter and everything else. If we recorded these sessions and posted them up there, I wonder if people would go to the YouTube page and watch them. Because, you know, what people don't realize is it costs – it's not cheap, especially when you're talking – 30 speakers and so many sessions. We have two stages to get all this stuff done and edited and everything else. And we haven't done it so far because I've never really known if it would be, you know, worth the time to do it. I'd hate to go ahead and throw these things up there and have 10 people hit the YouTube video.
Right.
So, Protractor, if you're still listening, you know, let me know if we threw these videos up there. Would you go and watch them, and do you think people would watch them? And we'll post up on Twitter and say, hey, if we posted these up here, I don't know if we have time to get it done for this show, but we, you know, a lot of these people are regulars for Self-Reliance Expo, and so we could probably, you know, and maybe we do like maybe two or three per event and until we get them all, and that way we can, you know, we can focus on like on one stage.
Okay.
I don't know. Just throwing it out there. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, it would just be nice because I always miss them, and I'd like to sit down and listen to them all, you know. And I see people that do that. They come in and they sit down first thing in the morning. They get their list, and when the break hits, they get up, go buy something, check out a few vendors, come back, sit down, listen to the afternoon, you know, and they do that for both days. It's like, man, I wish I could listen to all that. And they're sitting there taking notes. And, anyway, I think it'd be fun.
Yeah, it's kind of the boon. You know, there's great things about doing our radio show. You know, the downside is it obviously takes time out of our days and everything with our family. There's great things about running an expo. You know, we get to meet a lot of cool people, and we get, you know, but believe it or not, you know, my wife was saying the other day, and she hates when I use her name, so she's probably in the other room going, you know, you promise you aren't going to use my name anymore. You know, one of the things she said is, you know, when I got you into this and we started talking about this lifestyle, you know, and I was kind of excited when you started doing it, but here we are a year and a half later, and we're not, with as much information and content and everything that you have around you, we're not nearly as far prepared as we should be, because you spend most of your time working on the expo, working on the radio, and you're not prepping. You talk about prepping. You get all this great advice, but because she's like, you know, our food storage isn't where it should be, and our gardens aren't where this, you know, like, it's hard to do everything when you're actually out here pushing the information. And that's the whole thing with Colorado Ron's saying, which is, you know, we have 35 speakers, and I probably heard, actually, honestly, I don't think I've seen a single session all the way through in a year.
No, I haven't either. I've listened to tidbits of each one. I think I've gotten all the way through. Well, no, I haven't even gotten through any of them all the way. But, yeah, I listened to 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, but I can never listen to the whole thing.
I think I just sold myself on videotaping it, because I think that's the only way we're going to be able to get – I'm actually ever going to see one of those seminars.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's kind of silly that we don't know some of this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean – yeah, I think it's vital. I think we should. Even if it's just for us. Even if it's only two views on YouTube and it's us.
I just might have changed Ronnie's job to official videotaper.
I did it when at the very first expos that we'd done, and you know, cuz there's a plug to plug right into the camcorder into the microphone plug in. And so we had good audio, and it worked out pretty well. But we haven't done it in a long time. So.
Wow. All right, we'll have to figure that out. So, all right, we've got something that we have to do. And then, I'm all depressed.
It's going to
be a great show, man.
It's
going to be an awesome show. I'm excited.
It's going to be an awesome show, but we're not, you know, we enjoy.
But we won't know anything about it.
We'll be so exhausted and, you know, walking in at 11 o'clock at night, waking up the next morning and just kind of go, and when it's over, we kind of go, is it over? All right. Well, unfortunately, we didn't end up getting Michael Adams, the scout, on here. We'll be seeing him live at the event, so we'll berate him at the event saying, hey, what happened? You stood us up. Just kidding. We thank you guys all for listening. We are very excited to have Appleseed at, you know, we're very happy to be doing the Backwoods home shoot with Appleseed, and we're grateful to have them at our event. They're great partners, and we hope that if you guys can't come, if you know anybody in the Texas area, Oklahoma area that's within driving distance, encourage them to come. This is a huge show for us because we, you know, we're doing this in conjunction with the Glenn Beck Show, and this is a chance for preppers to stand out and look like regular everyday people and not like a bunch of crazies, and we're really trying to put our best foot forward here because we believe that prepping is not just a lifestyle, but it's an obligation. So on that note, I think we're done. Do you have anything else, Colorado?
I don't. I think we're good to go. I'm ready to get ready for this trip.
All right. So, guys, let's go ahead and do our obligations of covering everything. So if you would like to check out the websites, go to www.backwoodshome.com. To check out what's going on at the Self-Reliance Expo, it's www.selfreliancexpo.com. And as always, you can hit our Facebook pages, Preparedness Radio, Self-Reliance Expo, Backwoods Home Mag, or Bubba Da Vinci. Any of those will get you to our channels. And that's it. Oh, I do have one more thing. Jeez. We will not be on live next Friday or Saturday. We will be at the expo, and typically at the expos, we do a live show, but this expo is so big and there's so many moving parts that we have decided that we will not do a show. So we'll be doing a repeat. And then the following week, we are changing our format. Bubba's Bookshelf will be moving from Friday evenings and we'll be taking the first hour from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Time of the three-hour show. And then that lets Colorado Ron get an extra hour of sleep.
Yes.
And then at some point we'll go live and be Self-Reliance Exposed for the remaining two segments, the remaining 2 hours. So I think that's it. You have a good weekend, Colorado.
You too, bud. Travel safe.
You too, and we'll see you on Monday. All right, guys, we hope to see you at the event, and you take care. And again, self-reliance is not just a lifestyle, but an obligation. Talk to you soon. Bye.
You've been listening to BHM Radio, the official show for Backwoods Home Magazine on the Preparedness Radio Network. Tune in every other week at this time to get more information on the articles you love. Questions or comments for the hosts? Email them at coloradoron@gmail.com. Until next time, remember, preparedness saves lives.
I'm Dr. Prepper, and I'm here today to tell you about the Wonder Mill. Their patented grain mills create the most luxurious and quality flours from any hard grains or beans. They contract with the world's best-suited factories to manufacture the Wonder Mill to the highest specifications in the industry that they plan and design right up there in Pocatello, Idaho. They are the only American company with both electric and hand-operated models. I like them so much, I bought both, and you should too. I use the electric model for the finest flour, and I use the hand-operated model for making my grits and creamy wheat for breakfast. And I can have it fresh every day with the Wonder Mill's lifetime warranty and the fact that these are simply the world's fastest, quietest, cleanest operating grain mills. It's no wonder that most preparedness and kitchen professionals prefer the Wonder Mill over all the other grain mills on the market. I love both mine. I know you'll love yours too. Go to thewondermill.com. That's thewondermill.com and Wonder Mill Grain Grinders. Get yours today. Tell them that Dr. Prepper sent you, will you?
If everything you eat comes out of boxes stored in your freezer, you might need the Self-Reliance Expo. If you're afraid to take out your own garbage because the neighbor kids might beat you up, you might need the Self-Reliance Expo.
Over 50 free training classes are coming to the Self-Reliance Expo at the Arlington Convention Center Friday, July 27th and Saturday, July 28th. Gardening, alternative home building, off-grid living, food preservation, cooking with the sun, self-defense classes, canine demos, and more.
If you can kill a houseplant just by looking at it, you might need the Self-Reliance Expo.
This event is fun for the whole family and is the largest of its kind in the nation. Learn how to do it yourself. Learn how to defend yourself. Save money, save a life.
If the only screwdriver you own is made of orange juice and vodka, you might need the Self-Reliance Expo.
It's the Self-Reliance Expo at the Arlington Convention Center, Friday, July 27th and Saturday, July 28th. Go to selfrelianceexpo.com for information and tickets.
You've been listening to the Preparedness Radio Network, offering helpful and timely tips on preparing for natural and man-made disasters. Timely and useful tips on gardening and homesteading. Check us out online at BePreparedRadio.com. Until next time, remember, preparedness saves lives. This is the Preparedness Radio Network.